Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next, we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot drum. Who's got the foot drum?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, follow the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hind.
With Red Kirsch.
Well, host, annual host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
That set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yes!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Hello!
Hey, Gino. We're all here. And, what's that? What's the matter, Andy?
I expected another soundbite to be coming, but it didn't come.
Oh. Anyway, lots to talk about.
Is that what she said?
Kevin Falk.
Wasn't a soundbite she was expecting, but.
Kevin Falk back on the team.
Yeah.
That's good.
Excellent news.
And when we were talking on Tuesday, was Lee Bodden done?
Not quite. I don't think it was official.
No, it wasn't. Official.
No.
Okay, so
no,
that's...
that was in the midst of the Twitter controversy. Where's he going? What's he deciding? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's done. So
at a very affordable rate as well, which I think is really good.
Well, you thought it was
some of us
deal.
Believe so.
Yeah,
I think Fred thinks he robbed the team.
No? I don't think this is much of
a. So, wait a minute.
Just for an example, no, I don't think.
Are we gonna just start off just miss?
I was trying not to
characterizing what people say right off the bat.
Your initial
that's what
reaction.
We do on this show. Fred.
I was a little surprised at the size of the guaranteed signing bonus.
Right. So. Not number one corner to you is not worth $10 million in bonus, but a number three outside linebacker is worth $6
million. Well, there are
bonus.
Different levels of number one corners, yes? No?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just a little surprised.
Any one of them is worth more than a backup linebacker.
It's hard to debate third level outside linebacker.
I was just surprised.
I'm surprised he didn't say that.
I was just a little bit surprised at $10 million
me too.
Guaranteed.
But I thought he was going to get more than that.
Yeah, I'm surprised because it was low. Yeah, I think it's a great deal for the Patriots. And the way I looked at it was, and I don't know all the details of Dante Robinson's deal, but 50-some-odd million, $57 million I think it was, and I know it wasn't all guaranteed, but to me there was a much smaller gap between Robinson and Bodden as players than there are between their contracts.
Yep, right.
I think the gap between their contracts is much larger than it should be.
So why wouldn't Bodden ask for more from some other team?
Maybe it wasn't out there.
Maybe he wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't
take
know.
That
don't
much of a...
That.
Really?
Oh, I didn't say he got offered $57 million.
No, I said
there's a bigger gap between the salaries than there are the ability to
play. No, I know,
players.
but
clearly if someone offered him $57 million, you wouldn't be here.
Right, so no one was offering him that.
Not.
That's why he started that sentence with clearly.
Okay.
The Texans.
But he might have been offered 12 by
Houston. Do we know what the Texans offered?
I would assume if the Texans gave him what Atlanta gave Dante Robinson, Bodden would be a Texan right now.
Yeah, but if they wanted to pay that, they would have given it to Robinson.
That's not always the logic that
I don't think Houston offered him as much as the Patriots gave him. I think that he probably got, you know, and again, nothing, based this on nothing. Just totally, Fred and I were just batting it around the other day. I think he might have gone to Houston. They sat down. They had an offer. He went to the Patriots and said, this is the offer. And the Patriots said, man, we can live with that. We can make it work, and maybe sweetened it a little bit here and there, and he's a Patriot.
See, my guess would be Houston offered a little bit more.
I would be surprised.
And he said, I played in Cleveland and Detroit. I don't want to go back to that. Mm. I have a better chance of being in the playoffs again in New England.
But certainly no one gave him Robinson money, or he wouldn't be here.
God, no. Yeah, my guess is it was like $11 million Houston guaranteed or something
minor. And I thought somebody would offer him somewhere in the middle. I thought someone would offer him a five-year, $43 million deal with 19 in bonuses and guarantees, and clearly no one did.
Especially since he's a cornerback, and we know how hard it is to find good cornerbacks.
That's the thing. He's a good cornerback. Yeah. I wouldn't say he's a great cornerback who's worth that kind of money. Now, in a year where there's only two guys, maybe.
But Dante Robinson is not a great cornerback. Right.
And there's been plenty of years.
I didn't say he was.
No, but that's why I was surprised that Bodden didn't get anywhere near the offer.
How often do we need to see a Dominic Foxworth or a Dre Bly or some jag corner get overpaid?
Dre Bly would be a great example.
I thought Bodden was going to get overpaid, and he didn't. He got underpaid in my mind. And underpaid for your team. I think it's a great deal, a steal of a deal.
And it's great that the Patriots, have been able to tie up some of their guys, some of their returning free agents. It's been a good offseason in-house. I'd like to see if they could do a little bit more outside of the house, but I really like what they've done so far.
That's now they have to focus on that.
I like what they've done so far.
They brought in Morrell, a special teamer who was a Jet. Marcus actually, Morrell. The cousin of Adrian Morrell, or
younger brother.
Yeah. So
a non-factor signing. No, a guy that didn't even warrant a tender offer.
But you need those guys too. You need those guys on special teams.
A tender offer.
I thought we had enough special teams guys.
You don't need those guys.
You don't need those guys.
No.
Oh, you Mike Martz?
No. They have them.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, he might be a little bit better than one of the guys. So.
And that doesn't make your team any better.
I think it does. I think it all counts. You know, it's not a big deal. It's like David Patt. It's not a big deal. But I think in this case, he might actually play.
When do you think we're going to start seeing...
On defense?
No, on special teams.
Oh.
When do you think we're going to start seeing teams offer contracts to tendered RFAs?
Restricted? Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. You know?
Because we're going into a week now here.
I was looking at the list today, and I didn't recognize any of them of being even mentioned in the news. You know,
mm-hmm.
Other than speculation.
Brandon Marshall has visited Seattle. There's a lot of smoke
there. Marshall, yeah.
But Vincent Jackson.
I haven't seen any offers made, but there has been. The names have been in the news.
Sure. But, you know.
I just think it's a really hard thing to do, especially when you're dealing with a big money guy.
Yeah.
You know, Vincent Jackson, you're talking about one of these deals that takes a long time to put together, like Vince Wilfork just signed. And in addition, you're talking about a first and third. I think there's a lot that goes into that.
Would you go after this guy that Jerry Jones made the first, the highest tender to, the young kid? What's his name? The receiver?
Miles Austin?
No.
You don't think it's...
I wouldn't give a first and third round pick for any receiver.
None. Even Brandon Marshall.
No, especially.
Oh, God,
not
no. Him. Don't want him at all.
You guys are dead set against Brandon Marshall.
Yes. Yep. No. Very much so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, you want him?
I'm intrigued. I mean... Having him on the team, man.
And he could be in prison the next day.
He could be.
He's in and out of trouble.
And he could be.
Seemingly every other month.
And I'm assuming
he could be pouting at practice, knocking footballs down.
Well, that's the issue I have. Yeah. If it was just the legal or just the on-field, he's got both. He's an on and off field problem.
But I
lived the Terry Glenn era. I don't want to go back to the Terry Glenn era. Terry Glenn was a good player.
I agree. And I wouldn't give him the first and third for him. I gave a first for him, and it was tough to take.
Right.
Now you're giving a first and third and the money.
And money.
No, thanks.
I couldn't have less interest in a guy.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have T.O. At least his is A, only on field, and B, you just have to sign him. That's all you got
to
do.
If you wanted to take a chance on one of these problem guys, Cincinnati signed Antonio Bryant yesterday to a four-year, $28 million contract, which I would have been scared to sign, honestly, because Bryant's been in and out of trouble constantly. Ran his way out of Dallas and Cleveland. So there's some issues there, but at least I know it's just money. It's not right. the draft picks, too. And it's not that much money. You're not signing Brandon Marshall 4 years, $28 right. million, I don't think.
So along that same line of thinking, would you say that so far what the Patriots have done in the offseason, character is back in vogue with them? You know, for a little while we were like, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, you know, maybe they've lost that. But now...
Football character is back in
vogue. Well, the way Will Fork's been talking and bringing back Kevin Falk, who's that strong locker room presence, do you think that that's... part of it a little
well
bit.
There's been a lot of references to last year's bad seats.
Well, that's what I was about to say. You know, that again, we talk about what the players say on the Patriots, and usually that comes from somewhere,
but no one got arrested. That's why I say it's football character.
No,
it's arrests
if you have a guy that's causing off field trouble, that definitely is going to creep into the
think that's part of the equation here. But keep in mind, they haven't signed anybody. See, to me, if you go out and get people and you say, I got him, and one of the reasons was we feel like he's a strong presence, then I would say, well, clearly they're trying to rid the locker room of a certain kind
right.
and infuse it with another kind. All they're doing is...
But you could also say, Paul,
these are the guys that had problems in the locker room last year. They're all re-signed.
But you could also say that, with Vince Wilfork giving him the money that they gave him, making him the highest paid nose tackle in football... Part of that is because now we're going to count on you to be one of our locker room leaders, you know?
I just think that's one of those. I think you can count on him when you give a contract like that. I think you can certainly, within your rights, to expect him to maybe get out and do some things for the organization. And I'm not saying Tom Brady, like, face of the franchise things, but Vince Wilfork is one of our most tenured guys now. He's one of our highest paid guys now. Certainly get him out there in the public and doing those kinds of things. But I think I'm kind of with Andy here. I think in terms of what you're asking him to do in the locker room, it's what he can do. I don't think you can just say, well, now you make $40 million. We want you to step up and be a locker room presence. I think he is a good guy in the locker room, by the way. I don't think that's a big issue, but I also don't think that he is going to be Rodney Harrison because he makes $40
million.
I just don't
get why the money or contract. He was a captain of the 2009 Patriots.
No, but the money comes in the factor of, okay, we're willing to pay him that much because not just what he does in the field, but also what he means to this team in the locker room. And they, I think they basically said that. I'm not making this up.
No, I know.
No,
but
I know they've said it.
Yeah.
I just don't know
if
you
can expect
it.
That's like assuming because Gerard Mayo was named captain that he suddenly has something that may
not be in him.
Well, no, but.
You can't force it.
But when it comes time to, re-signing Mayo to his second contract, maybe then those things come into play.
I think they're minor. I think if Vince Wilfork wasn't the best nose tackle in football, he wouldn't be the highest paid.
I don't know if they're minor, Andy, because everybody says last year on this defense they lacked a leader. They lacked
leader.
He was the captain of it. Yeah. So now
he has a big paycheck. He's going to be a better leader, captain.
If you signed Jamal Williams, for example, and you said all of these things, now I wouldn't. That's just a hypothetical.
No, you're just throwing his name out.
No, Jamal Williams is 110 years old. I wasn't interested in giving him $40 million. But if you had a press conference and said, we had some bad seeds in the locker room last year, and we're trying to weed some of those out, and we think that Jamal Williams is the kind of guy that could come in here and step up and be that kind of a leader, then I would say, okay. Vince Wilfork was a leader last year on defense, and you still had problems. So what's to expect? $40 million now. He's going to fix all those problems.
But maybe they need more.
I think he is a good leader.
And that's what I think came into why they were willing to give him so much.
Does he feel, you think,
but I just
more
don't know
invested
you're
going to
get
now?
Any more leadership out
well,
of him.
Well, do you think he feels more invested now, knowing for sure that he's going to be here long term?
Oh,
whereas last year, he was just sort of kind of sitting and waiting and seeing what
was going
to happen.
Rodney Harrison was the leader the second he got here. I think if you're a leader, guys just fall. How many guys at the combine we saw?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Spikes was one of them. Yep. Sam Bradford was one of them. I don't know why, but people just seem to follow me. When I got to Florida, when I got to Oklahoma, people fell in line behind me. Was it because they had a four-year scholarship, or was it because they're natural leaders?
Right.
I think it just happens.
Yep.
You fall in line.
I don't think you can
and
expect
I also don't
more
think
leadership
you
out
pay
of Vince.
For it.
Yeah, I don't
I think
you
Vince
can expect
Wilfork's the best nose tackle
but
in football.
Maybe they were happy with what he did.
I would agree with that.
But I'm saying
you paid him to be a leader. You gave him an extra $10 million that you wouldn't have given him.
Maybe he's voicing that kind of thing now because he got this big payday and he feels like now I really have to be responsible for what
I
do.
Well, I hope that he doesn't feel
that. Would
like
ring
that
hollow to me as a player.
I think that comes across as plastic leadership, and I don't think that's good.
I
do think that Vince does a good job. I think the stuff with the to do my job. I don't think that was just for him last year. I think that was, you know, kind of a sign of leadership. And he's been a guy that when things have gone badly, you've heard him, especially post-game.
Mm-hmm. Point blank.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite sayings of all time.
He throws a lot of point blanks in paragraphs, but you hear him, especially after losses. I remember in Miami last year, he was really outspoken. I think that's good leadership. It's not trashing guys.
Right.
You know, it's stepping up and taking responsibility. And I think Vince is good at that. I just don't think you can say, okay, we're throwing $40 million at you. Now we expect you to ascend to a higher level of leadership that maybe you don't have.
Yep. And the character thing, we all assume bad seed. When people say bad seed, everybody jumps right to who? 96, Adalys Thomas, right? He didn't fit. He was part of the problem. I don't know that he was ever considered a bad character guy.
No.
Things just went very much south for him here.
And it may not have been, you know, the character off the field, but, you know, the effort. Effort is part of character, too.
Right.
When you don't always give 100%, that's an indictment on your character.
But do you think, my point is, I think Rex Ryan thinks he always gave him 110%. I think Rex Ryan still likes it. It went south in a one-year span here last year.
Mm. Less than that. Less than that.
Right. So I don't think they sold out to some bad character guy. It didn't work. We got to go back to good character. Adalys Thomas was a specific situation that it didn't work. It just fell apart.
Well, I think, though, they are looking for those guys. I mean, I think that
might be a couple of others, too.
Well, I think there's others.
It tips the scale a little bit.
I also think that the problem with Adalys Thomas is he didn't play up to the level that he was signed for. And I think if he did, this other stuff wouldn't be coming up. He'd be the same.
But that's my point. Nothing changed.
He didn't pan out. He didn't work. I have no problem with the signing. I wish they would make more signings like that.
But I
think that the
swing and miss, because at least you swung.
The head was in the right place. We missed. We had a batting practice fastball, and we missed.
But we might be, you know, we're looking at it obviously from just what we see in the end result. But maybe his coaches think he still can do it. He's just choosing not to. The effort isn't there.
Well, it's not the ability. Then that was the problem from day one, then, because he didn't do it from the time he became a New England Patriot.
Well, whatever. But, I mean, that might be why they're so upset. Now, they could have, like Paul said, just swung and missed and just misjudged this guy's ability.
Well, effort's clearly an issue because Wilfork talked about effort.
Effort was an issue, no question, last year, especially as you got that situation with being late.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, whatever happened in 07 and 08, I don't think effort was an issue then. I don't think he was playing at this all-world level that we were led to believe. And they certainly paid him at one of the higher-paid defensive players in football. So they felt that, too. I think it was more of a misjudgment of what this guy could do in their system. I think that he was much more comfortable in an undisciplined system in Baltimore. But they play a different style.
And it was tailored
more
to
more of an attacking style.
We've had enough people, including Rex Ryan and Ray Lewis, say we tailored things to Adalys Thomas to now understand they tailored it to him.
Yeah.
Maybe Bill wasn't looking to tailor anything. He wanted Adalys Thomas to do what you had to do.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Right.
But I agree with Paul. I think it's all skill-based. I think Vince Wilfork got paid the most in football because he's the best nose tackle in football, and they're unhappy with Adalys Thomas's effort because they paid him what they thought he was going to be. He didn't have 10 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 3 interceptions.
But, you know, I take Vince when he says things like weeding out bad seeds. He didn't make that up.
No.
That was definitely a topic in the locker room.
But the owner said it on EEI in this studio. Yeah. He talked about chemistry and losing games because of chemistry in your seat.
Yeah.
It's an issue. Yeah. We all talked about it last year. Yep. They're all talking about it now. Right. It's clearly been an issue.
Right. Yeah. No question that's an issue.
But my question is,
they're trying to make
was
sure
it just Chris
him.
Baker? Because he's kind of been the only seed that's been removed from the cucumber.
Well, I got to think AD is gone. I mean, I know that there's
I would
got to
think it, too, know, except
people
he's not got to be gone.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm
then why not now?
Because
I mean, just
I think
to
they're
make it harder for everybody else?
I think they're going to try to make it. No, I don't think they care about anybody else. I think they only care about sticking it to him.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about
it.
Make
it harder for him to try to find somebody.
How's it? I just don't. Everybody assumes he's going to New York. How does that stick it to him in any way? He knows the system. He's just going to slide in and boom.
There may not be anything they can do about it.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to try to make it as difficult as possible. If they do it now, they're doing nothing to impede him from going anywhere.
Exactly.
See,
if they do it in July, they might be able. Well, what are they doing?
And the longer
I think you're allowing a guy that you don't want to touch, talk, or be in any contact with your team as a quote-unquote bad seed to remain.
But if he does that for a day, then you cut him. then you say, okay, we can't hold on.
I just think that it's seemingly about symbolism. You're re-signing the $40 million great leader.
Do you expect to see him here in May?
I have no idea.
I would
have cut him already. I would have cut him already anyway
because I'm not into that nonsense. I would just get rid of him.
I think you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting him.
The day I decided that he can't help my football team, I would have cut him.
But is there a chance that some team might say, you know what, we're willing to give a fourth-round pick for him?
No.
But they have to pick up his salary, which...
I'm assuming they're going to have to give him a salary anyway.
Not $4.5
million. $4.5
million.
Yeah, no way. He ain't making $9 million in the next 2 years.
Yeah. Unless you can hoodwink the Raiders again.
No chance.
Thomas Jones
signed for two years, or the Bears.
Thomas Jones signed for 2 years for $5 million.
With Casey?
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting $4.5 million this year and next.
Of course, I would counter with Tully Bantakane got $18 million. I don't know.
I don't understand that deal either, but at least he's younger and was productive last year.
I don't know where the market is.
Not a whole lot younger.
The comparables, I don't know where they all are.
Well, Jarvis Green did well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jarvis Green may have signed the most ridiculous contract of the
season. That one made me think Bantakane's underpaid.
Unless there's some, you know, fine print that allows them to just say, oh, this guy can't play. He's
right.
cut.
After
and we owe him
year,
nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know where value is anymore. I really don't.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it's
in the eye
year.
Of the beholder.
I've heard that it's uncharted
waters. I always make fun of you, Fred, when you say that other teams overpay.
Did you read this month's issue?
The Broncos overpaid for Jarvis Green.
So it's interesting, you know. They dubbed him a super sub, which do you pay that much for a sub?
$5 football.
Patriots did. So I was.
Yeah, I don't know. He must have something that they like. You know. All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
You're going to make
it. At some point, we need to talk
Daniel
about
Daniel Fells. Not I know you had him catching 55 balls in this offense next year. So.
Well, Daniel Fells re-signed with his team.
Because you had him on the upswing, right? That 21 catches.
That would be the Rams.
Yeah. So,
the Rams.
So we don't get him. Big, big void right now in the tight end position for this
really?
Team.
Really? Is there?
Yeah.
Well, I think there might have been for the last couple of years. And
I mean,
they have no one.
There's a lack of players, but I don't know if there's a big void.
There's an arrival of lunch,
well,
too.
I think that if they had the right guy, they'd use him.
I do, too.
Yeah.
They haven't had him for decade now, and they've won a lot of games.
Yeah. Since Ben Coates.
Yeah. So, but I do think that it's nice to have a pass-catching tight end on your team, and I think if they could find one, they'd get him. But obviously, Olsen, I don't know, what did he re-sign for with the Rams?
Fells or Olsen?
Fells.
Nothing
significant.
Nothing. He was another restricted free agent that didn't get a tender offer, so they didn't want to pay him $1.17 million. So he got less than that.
Wow. And is Olsen re-signed with the Bears? Or
he was never not signed.
He was never
not
signed.
Okay. He's under contract.
Trade.
He
was
a trade
prospect.
That would have to be a trade.
Okay. We have to trade for him.
Yeah.
And I would in a heartbeat.
Do you think you would?
Give them Dalis Thomas, and we'll take Greg
Olsen.
Let's do it.
Well, if I could do that, I would do it in whatever is quicker than a heartbeat.
Do you think
a
there's blink. Any...
I'd do it in a murmur.
Do you think there's any validity to the fact that they use, you know, the guys underneath so often? With the way Welker catches a lot of his passes, and Kevin Fall catches a lot of his passes, that
the tight end is
sort of is a tight end?
I think there's a portion of it, but... I think if they had a good tight end, they'd use it.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. But
catching a ball parallel to the line of scrimmage 5 yards is not the same as catching it 15 yards downfield down the seam. I mean, a good tight end would find ways to make plays.
But even the best tight ends, let me rephrase that. Most of the good pass-catching tight ends are going to average around what Wes Welker averages. Only the elite average closer to 15 yards per catch.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you had a good tight end and you would use him, I agree with you. I think if they had a suitable option, I think they would throw the ball to him more often than they have thrown it to Watson. But would that just decrease the number of catches that Welker has?
Maybe.
I don't think it would add.
But it might make the offense
better.
More productive.
Yeah.
You could make that argument. I don't know. You could make that argument.
It might help out your running game a little more.
I think maybe. It would help
everything.
What
I'm looking for in a pass-catching tight end is not necessarily the gaudy numbers. It's the efficiency. How many of the catches are for first down? How many touchdowns does he have?
Yeah, I'm not looking for 100 catches or 85 catches, Antonio.
Right.
I'm looking for productive plays.
Yeah.
He could have 2 catches for 30 yards every week, and I could say those were 2 big catches.
If Brady had a Ben Coates and a Wes Welker and a Randy Moss, not all of those guys would get ridiculous numbers all the time. But the offense would be better off as a whole.
I agree. As I said on Tuesday, I've yet to see Tom Brady have a productive weapon and not use it.
Of course.
I think guys he hasn't used, it's because he's tried to use them, and they're not
that
good.
And they haven't come up for him,
I mean, I think, I truly do believe he maximizes his weapons. If it's great in terms of talent, you get a Randy Moss or a Wes Welker, whatever. If it's not, I still think you get a Mark Edwards. I think he made Mark Edwards better than he was. Heath Evans, better than he was. Christian Fourier, better than he was. I think he takes guys and gives them a little boost. Jabbar Gaffney, better than he
David
was.
David Patton.
Now, I was listening to Paul's other employer the other day, and they had on, you know, Fred Smirlis and Steve DiAzzi. And
you're making my
They were just arguing with callers who were insisting that the Patriots need to bring in better receivers.
And they were,
and they were saying, and that that was really hurt them in 09, not having, you know, that third option and so on. And they were insisting that, you know, if you look at the stats, it didn't hurt them. You know, it didn't hurt them. And I just can't agree with them about that because...
How are they making that point?
You know, saying that, look at Brady's numbers. It's the second best numbers he's
4,000,
had.
4,000, blah, blah, 100 catches,
I mean,
here.
If you have,
blah, blah, blah.
If you have a Moss and Welker, you know, why do you need to throw to anyone else? And I think that what they were missing is, again, going back to those critical plays. You know, if you only have those two options, and the other team knows you only have those two options, yeah, they're great players. They're going to get their numbers. But when you're in a dime package or even when you're really selling out against the pass, you know, and it's third and 10, they can stop that, you know?
Well, I would just – I would put the New Orleans Saints as my Exhibit A. Are any of their guys as good or better than Moss or Welker? No, but the entirety of the offense was better than the entirety of the Patriots' offense last
year.
Because they had more options, they had more creativity, they made, they, Drew Brees had more to look to.
They couldn't cover everybody on defense.
Right. But does that mean that Marcus Colston is better than Randy Moss?
Not. But that, this gets to what...
I say not!
This gets to what you were talking about. Brady can make players better, and I think for Tom Brady, he doesn't need two Pro Bowl wide receivers. What he needs are smart, fundamentally sound receivers. You know, that's why Joey Galloway couldn't play on this team. He had the speed. We saw him in training camp, and we commented, "Wow, this guy's still got the speed." He needs smart guys that, you know, can do all the basics, and he'll make them better.
We thought Galloway was one of those guys, though.
We thought we were wrong, but we thought so.
The tight end thing is kind of strange to me, though. You know, you talk about the big catches. Well, I don't remember a lot of Watson. I mean, Watson is just not really utilized. Now, I don't know if that's kind of the same kind of deal with Galloway. Maybe he's just not where he's supposed to be and doesn't catch the ball often enough. That would be my argument. He doesn't catch the ball often enough. But, you know, I think back to that opening night game when, he didn't catch a ton of passes in that game, but he caught the two big ones for touchdowns.
Right.
And why wasn't that available to him at all, you know, over the balance of the last 15 games?
I don't know.
You know, with Watson. I don't know either. I don't have the answer to that either.
You know, but you look at...
But couldn't he have been good enough to be what you're kind of describing?
Yeah, I don't
care if he catches two passes a game, but he has to make a play or two here or there. He couldn't do that for you?
Apparently
I
not.
I don't think so.
Because
I don't
he
think
wasn't
he's
making
that
even two catches a game.
Because the two catches a game... I want him to make those on the two times I throw it to him, not the five. Not the deflected passes that look like volley.
Did you think that happened this year, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't.
I thought he and Sam Aiken are the same
guy. I didn't
guy.
Think they threw the ball to one.
They make plays occasionally, and the more often you throw it to them, the more you realize they also hurt you.
And I know you know that I'm not a big Watson fan. Matter of fact, I still maintain that Daniel Graham was a better player than Benjamin Watson. So this is not meant to be a defense of the guy who's about to sign somewhere else. I don't. Let him sign somewhere else, good riddance, as far as I'm concerned. But I thought, you know, if you're asking that little of a tight end, I thought he could give you that. That I don't think they really tried to.
And maybe less this year, but I think part of that's the quarterback, the back of his mind.
Yeah, you might be
I don't
right about
want
that.
To throw to Ben Watson. He stinks. He's not going to make plays for me. He could hurt me. I'm going to go to Welker. I'm going to go to Moss.
Yeah, in week one, he went to that
well, sometimes you
particular
have to.
Tight end, and he came up for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't just wash away years of
No, but
I mean,
he
Brady
had,
gave Watson as much props.
He did
a couple of years ago and as anybody had, other than Peter King. It was Pro Bowl.
I think
it was
we all
this.
Agree, though, that Watson had a pretty good first half of last year. Compared to his other seasons, he had a pretty good first half
of
last year.
We didn't start saying, "Up, there's the old Ben Watson," until later in the year.
Yeah, until like almost the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm thinking specifically of a pass out of the backfield that hit him in the...
That was in the playoff game.
Yeah, you know, that stuff started coming later. But you're right. I mean, he didn't have a ton of catches, but when he was thrown the ball, he pretty much caught it, you know, for the most part.
I thought he did this year.
Yeah.
That may be Andy's point that Tom just decided, I ain't throwing the ball to this guy. So his opportunities were so few that he didn't have as many opportunities to not catch the ball this year as he's had in the past.
And who knows? Maybe they needed him to block more because of some other problem.
Well, I know they needed him to block a lot. But both tight ends blocked all year, and that was because the offensive line was sort of in flux with injury. I mean, Light missed a lot of games. You had a rookie over there. Cashier, I don't think, is any standout on his own. You're missing Neal a little bit. I mean, those guys were needed to block.
Right. So those are the kind of things that when you're evaluating the – You know, you have to consider. There might be other factors there. But I still think that a good tight end is such a valuable asset. You know, I remember watching the old Cowboys game with Aikman, and it'd be 3rd and 8, and he'd just go to the tight end, you know, maybe like 4 times in a game. And it was just, it's the same as a quarterback who can scramble well, and you got everybody covered, then he runs for the first down. It's a backbreaker, you know. When this big tight end all of a sudden catches a first down pass, it's a real backbreaker to the defense.
And I think it's a backbreaker the other way. If you throw it to him and it's on his hands and he doesn't catch it.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
I think it's frustration.
I mean, look what happened to the Colts in the Super Bowl. It wasn't all Dallas Clark, but when guys started, you know, dropping the ball toward the end of that game, that was, you know, those were killers. And they weren't Peyton Manning's fault, you know.
Yeah.
When a guy's open, he's got to catch the ball in this league. Because, you know?
Well, that's another part of that, and I've heard that EEI rant that you're talking about a little bit with Fred and Steve.
Yep.
And, you know, the receivers weren't a problem. They had enough depth and blah, blah, blah. And people are saying, why don't they go and, you know, why don't they sign guys? Why don't they draft guys, you know, like the Colts did? And they get these young receivers who come out of nowhere with Colley and Garcon, and they just dismiss them. Well, Garcon was
right.
Garcon, you want a 6th round guy out of Mount Union?
No, I want a guy with his talent.
I'm saying,
yeah.
But at the same time, when we draft David Givens in the 7th round by accident, we're supposed to sit there and say, "What a brilliant pick!" And by the way, you know what? It was a great pick. You got a 7th round pick who was a terrific player. Julian Edelman right now looks like a terrific pick.
Mm-hmm. Much better pick.
Yeah, because it wasn't by accident.
Right. It doesn't matter to me where they get the guy.
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't sit there. I'm not going to credit my team for going out and getting late round guys that are okay. I'll admit they didn't know. The Colts didn't know that Garcon was going to be this, and the Patriots certainly didn't think that Julian Edelman was going to be able to catch 40 passes for him last year.
Right.
I know they didn't think that, and I know in talking to Edelman, you know, he even said when they talked to him on the phone, they didn't even know where they were going to put him.
Right.
They said, we'll just get here. We'll have a place for you. We'll figure it out.
Right.
And they figured it out quickly.
But
they're to be commended for that.
Right.
I just don't understand that line, that logic, that Pierre Garcon is to be dismissed because he was a 3rd round, a Division III guy out of Mount Union drafted in the 6th round.
Right. I think Bill Polian and Bill Belichick are correct if they think that we don't necessarily have to get Brandon Marshall on our teams, you know, to have a great offense because we've got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I think they're correct there. But they better damn well pick the, you know, guys that have fundamentally sound technique and who are smart because, yeah, my quarterback's going to make them better.
Right.
But I can't coach that other part. I can't coach his brains, you know, and if he doesn't have good hands, he doesn't have good hands.
It's,
you know,
David Patton, Jabbar Gaffney versus Doug Gabriel, Joe Galloway.
Right. Right.
Two of them worked, two of them didn't. They're both lower-level signings to be complementary pieces, but they need to complement the offense. They can't just get in the way, and that's what some of these guys have done.
Yeah. I know the receivers have a lot of balls.
I also think that you need to be careful with the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's. They don't need, you know, the Pro Bowl receivers and that. I think you do in order to be really, really good. I think you can get by with less than Pro Bowl caliber, but I wonder how good Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon would be without Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark on the field. And certainly I would wonder how good Julian Edelman is going to be. We're going to find out.
Right.
You know, without Wes Welker and Randy Moss on the field. And, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, and
yep.
I would caution that, don't go after Pro Bowl receivers because Brady can do it without, we tried to do it without high caliber receivers in 06 and it was a struggle. Yeah, they won games, but it was a struggle. And ultimately you fell short. And I would contend because you were on the road. I think if that game was at home, the Patriots would have won it.
Yep. All right, Web Radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get to all the emails that we have.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, not tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
Wow, that's new. Little voiceover lead-in with actual information. That's really good.
Figured it was better than stumbling through the phone numbers.
Oh.
That will conclude the actual information portion of today's
good.
Program.
Sean says, I don't think the tight end is used in the passing game as much because he has to be held back to block to help out Light, Kazier, and Vollmer. I don't think it's fair to slam Watson because of this. I feel that if he had the option of running downfield more often, he would have made more catches. Wasn't he the number one receiver in 2006?
Yeah.
Says Sean.
That's my point. About 2006. Be careful when you say they doesn't need any Pro Bowl receivers. When that was the best you had, wasn't that good?
On the phone right now at 508-543-7482. Text us at... No, we don't have that, do we? No.
It's called email.
So we don't have to do that annoying... The 718 emails in, and we got the...
You're only in New England. There's only like six options.
Is there anything
Nathan,
more... uncomfortable than when Dale Arnold says, so-and-so from the 413.
If you were a national program, that's okay. Then you have the whole country, and
nice,
it's a cute little gimmick.
There.
But, I mean...
Nathan hurts
my ears. I have to click off when I hear those idiots do it.
Nathan is from the Southern California. I don't know the area code there, but hey, Nathan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
First time caller. I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Sure.
Are you using the magic jack?
What's that?
Are you using the magic jack?
Yeah, is it breaking up pretty bad?
Are you really?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the magic jack sucks. We've had two callers, and they both suck.
As long as it doesn't start beeping, I think we can deal
okay.
with it.
Okay.
I haven't had any bad feedback yet on it, so I don't know. I don't know if it's...
Hey, the price is right.
It's probably us.
Yeah, it is.
Max Herrum.
Actually, I tried calling you guys before on my cell phone. I rang up a pretty high bill because I went over on my minutes. So I thought, you know, I better switch lines because I do a lot of phone calls.
It's probably on hold for 45 minutes.
Yeah, send Fred the bill for that. He'll take care of it.
We like VoIP calls.
I wanted you guys to comment on something. I heard you guys talking about it a little bit, and to me, this just completely spoke to me. I just thought it was really illuminating, and Kraft's show on WEI. I thought he gave a ton of information. And really what stuck out to me most is, I don't know, Fred, did Kraft pick up Belichick and take a whiz in his car and have a talk with him? Because he really mentioned that he's never, ever felt like he did after that Ravens lost. And he mentioned that a couple times.
Mm-hmm. He said he was embarrassed, there? I think.
Yeah, he said he never felt like it, and he said that really stung. Yeah. And he had mentioned that, they didn't really rally. They didn't have the team morale in the locker room. And I just felt like he was talking directly to AD and to Springs. I mean, who's ever bringing the name alive, it just seemed like before when the Patriots, they got punched in the mouth, they got hit, they rallied behind it. And it seemed like he really had that lasting impression. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're really scooping up the players like, you know, Telly Bantakane, Will Fork, Falk. Some of the key players that do have that morale because they're trying to get their team together first. And then from that, I think they're going to work on, you know, what free agents they think will fit or get pick up in the draft. But I haven't really listened to the show. Do you guys talk about that a lot already?
Yeah, we started on that note. We talked a lot about that. I think it matters. I think it after last year, it's back to mattering a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't know when it stopped mattering. I think they may have hit a stretch where it just went the wrong way, but I don't think it didn't matter. You think football, you know, the football has to be one of the top three things in their lives. Football is important to them. I don't think that ever got away from
them. But I think that they saw that, you know, they had a lapse last year, and there's a re-emphasis.
But
remember,
AD was a guy who became a leader pretty quickly after he got here. He was the one who brought, you know, the whole Humble Pie t-shirt thing. People looked to him to be a leader in the locker room.
Maybe he's the wrong guy.
Well, certainly, all this is not coming from one guy.
Right.
The owner, your franchise player, it's not coming from one bad seed.
He might have had his isolated problems, but maybe this is more than him.
I got to tell you, I don't think it really has a whole lot to do with him. I think it has, my personal opinion, a lot to do with some of the younger guys on the team, and specifically defensive backs.
I was just going to say. You know, the giggling in the corner after losses and stuff like that. I think Sean Springs might have been a bad seed. As a veteran.
I hope he wasn't because he's still going to be here.
No, I know. But as a veteran, maybe he didn't set the example that they were looking for with the younger guys. And they've got a lot, you know.
I just think there's a lot of guys here, and I know you poo-poo this, Freddie, but
poo-poo.
There's a lot of guys here that haven't won anything.
Right. That's true.
You know, it's the Patriot way. And it's, you come here to win, but the majority of that locker room has done no winning. And, you know, it's been far enough removed now that the Patriot way is foreign to too many of those guys.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that. You have to win.
Yeah. Or you get rid of the guys.
Yeah. What keys do you think they're going to get to change that around?
Well, I mean, I think you got to get rid of the guys. I mean, if you pinpoint them, you have to remove the guys.
Yeah, I
think we had a great emailer last year who said the Patriots collected good players from bad teams.
Well, maybe those bad players are reasons some of those teams were bad. I mean, good players are Sean Springs, and you know Lee Bodden was one of them. He's back, so they clearly didn't decide he was one of those guys or whatever.
You just brought up something there, Andy, too, about Lee Bodden. And I like Lee Bodden a lot. I told you, I met him for the first time at training camp last year. I had a terrific conversation with him. I really liked him, and he did really nothing to show me that I was wrong from that point on. But he did have a bout of to make up a word, malcontentness, after the Denver game when he was sort of targeted and I thought scapegoated a little bit for being part of the problem that day, and he didn't start the next day, if you recall, and he wasn't happy about it.
Nope.
He was really not happy about it. So there might be some validity to that when you just talk about some of the guys that came in from other programs. Like I said, it's easy to sit there and say, well, this is where Tom Brady's the man, and then all of a sudden you're here for 2 years and you're like, I don't see Tom Brady much. Is he the man? Because they don't know that he's the man.
Right.
They haven't seen him do it. They've been a part of fourth quarters where we haven't won.
Right. Right, exactly.
And I don't want to just,
Is this the man?
Randy Moss. I don't know where he is and what everybody feels about Randy Moss from 1 to 53. I really don't. You know, I don't think when Vince Wilfork says bad seed, he's talking about Moss, because I think he has a good relationship with Moss.
He certainly isn't, because he mentioned Moss.
But I don't know what Moss is.
Just for a point of example, Florio certainly thinks he's talking about Randy Moss
but
in
he
that
isn't.
Comment. I don't think he is. I agree with Andy and Eric. I don't think he is. But someone from the outside who's assessing that quote.
But I don't even care about the outside. I'm talking about the inside. Does Nick Kazier look at Randy Moss and say he's a problem?
But my point is, some of the inside is really inside.
But some of Moss's best friends are Vince Wilfork and Kevin Falk.
They
might be too close to the problem to see it's a problem.
Those same people, Paul, should have looked at the other part of the transcript where Wilfork mentioned Moss by name as far as one of those people who he felt were leaders in his locker room.
I don't think he's an unbiased source on that.
No, but I mean, if you're going to just go from the outside, you have to look at everything
talking
he
about
said.
See, but here's my thing. Florio's talking about effort and bad seeds in terms of, you said AD didn't put out this year. I would agree with you. But Florio certainly doesn't think Randy Moss put out this year. I would also agree with that. I know you wouldn't. But I don't think Vince Wilfork. No, well, we had the big argument about it already, Fred. You don't have to roll your eyes at me. I don't think Florio looks at it the same way. I think Florio looks at both of those guys in the same light. Wilfork doesn't. Wilfork might be talking about AD, but as Andy pointed out accurately, Moss is one of Vince's boys.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't look at it the same way.
He's also one of Kevin Falk's boys.
That's why I'm saying, like, just because you're not on the inside doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. Sometimes you're too close on the inside
to
see it.
That's what I said. I think they're...
I'm agreeing with you.
I don't think they're unbiased. Now, if you give me Sebastian Vollmer, I think he's inside. He's in the locker room, so he sees things. But I don't think he's Randy Moss's best friend.
He might not even have a clue.
Right.
He might be reading these quotes and saying, hey, listen, I was a rookie. I had my head in my playbook. I was home every night. I had all I could do to know what I was doing. He might not have any idea about the team dynamic.
I never know. A guy like Ray Ventrone was tight with Moss.
True. Moss knew who he was.
They looked like they were pretty friendly.
Dave,
we still have a guy on the phone here. For
Yeah, you want to just
Nathan,
leave him
you
hanging
all
there?
Set?
Okay. I'll hang up now. I appreciate your guys' insight. Thank
yes,
you.
Okay. Call back right, anytime.
Nathan.
Thanks,
it's
Nathan.
Magic Jack. David,
it's not so magic, Jack.
No, that worked out all right. For a free phone call?
Max Headroom. Yeah, but is that really what you would want as your only phone?
Free phone call. No, but for calls like this, you plug it in. So you're not using up your cell phone minutes.
Well, what about your regular phone, I'm asking?
No, you don't have that as your regular phone.
So now you have three phones instead of two.
Well, this is for long. If you make a lot of long distance calls, it's good to have something like that.
I use my cell phone.
Skype. You know what Skype is? S-K-Y-P-E.
I think Skype might work.
Dave from Dyke.
I now have scientific evidence that Magic Jack sucks. Two is a trend.
He's unbelievable.
Two is a trend. Is a reason
Magic
it's cheap.
Jack bad.
Two for two? I mean, that's a trend.
Next topic.
Shut up.
Dave,
you suck too. I have proof that you suck.
I've been
to enough shows.
Dave's on edge. Dave from Dighton, if the Pats really want to stick it to Dalis Thomas instead of cutting him late in the year, I'd like to see them trade him to the lowly Browns or a team like the Rams who really won't be significant throughout the rest of his career.
Nobody will trade for him.
Well, that's how...
no, but Paul made the good point.
I'm not swearing!
Paul made the good point that... with a guy like Thomas, you're not just trading for it, you're trading for his contract too. So unless he's willing to renegotiate.
But if you really wanted to stick it to him and you had a partner willing to stick it to him, you could have them trade for him and then cut him later. That would work both ways. You'd get him out of your locker room, and then Denver can cut him a little while later or whatever.
That, you know what? I didn't even think of that. In this uncapped year, you could do stuff like that.
And it wouldn't really affect you.
Let's just say
Scooter, call Scott up in KC.
Or, you know, my good friend Jerry Angelo, who evidently will do anything to satisfy Belichick.
Wow.
You call him up and you just
say,
hey, listen, we're going to cut this guy anyway. You're going to get rid of, you know, that guy on the end of your bench. Just give us this guy. We'll give you AD. You cut him.
Yeah.
And AD thinks he's going to a new place where, you know, he might not be privy to the inside trading and, you know, be on his best behavior.
Although I still don't see how that prevents him from going to the Jets, but.
It doesn't. The bottom line is he could show up on the Saturday before the Jets opener, and there's a good chance he knows enough of Rex Ryan's scheme that he could contribute that day.
That's true.
So all these little games do nothing but hurt you. They don't hurt him.
Sam in Chicago.
I don't think they hurt you, though. That's where I disagree with you. I don't see what he can do to hurt you. And if he shows one...
That he hasn't already done.
And if he shows one inkling of doing something to hurt you, then you say, all right, I tried. He's cut. He's gone. Before he can hurt you, you're going to cut him.
What if he just gets hurt, claims an injury, comes to the off-season program on whatever day and claims an injury, and now you're on the hook to pay him?
Well, that's just something that Bill's going to have to work out with Mr. Kraft. Because it's not hurting your team because you didn't expect him to be on your team.
Right, but
now you got to come up with $4.5 million reasons why you decided to stick it to him.
That'd be an awkward meeting.
Yeah, but I don't. But again, you know, as a fan, it's not my money.
Kind of is.
But not really.
I was just scrolling through the list of the most expensive tickets in sports, and you're number two.
I'm not number two.
I have
to go
Patriots,
but I'm not number two.
Number two.
Yeah, Northeastern's not number two on.
Well, in terms of seeding, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. In terms of overtimes it takes them to win opening round games in a basketball tournament.
Really? Really? Do we have to go here already?
Sam in Chicago says, question, with the solid signings of late, with some core guys, what are your feelings moving forward with the potential contribution of last year's rookies in the coming season?
Is there
less pressure in the draft and free agency because you see some developing playmakers that won't be as green this year?
It's a great question, because I think the longer we go where you're kind of re-signing your own, and the longer you say, well, they're really counting on Butler to step up, they're really counting on X, Y, and Z to step up because they're not filling.
I think they're going with the draft. I think they've decided that the free agent crop this year was not a place where they felt they could significantly improve themselves.
Well,
I think there were places that they could have done that, but I think when they kind of felt, I think Bolden is a guy they may have legitimately been interested in.
I think I'm going to go with the Tony Maserati theory here, and the more ifs you have when you're analyzing any team, the further you are away from good. If Julian Edelman can be Wes Welker, if Gerard Mayo can make plays and it was the knee, if Gary Guyton can be better, if Darius well, the more ifs that you add up, if you have 10 ifs, you're not one of the top five teams.
We don't know about Crable. We don't know about McKenzie.
Well, I know about Crable. Right. I'm all done with Crable.
Right.
We don't
now,
we
live
that myth. We don't know about Edelman. We don't know about Butler. We don't know about Tate.
And if that's really what you're counting on, a 10% improvement for all those or whatever, you're in trouble.
But if you're asking my opinion of what they are right now, it's not a contender. I don't think they're
a contender
right now. A Super Bowl contender?
Wow.
No. I don't think they finished last year as a Super Bowl contender.
Three seed, and
I said that in November.
Bad seed.
No, you could be a three seed. I don't think they're a legitimate contender. That's all I'm saying. I think they're good enough to contend for their division title again.
Fred, you want to?
But not even the best team.
I think the Jets are the best team in the division right now, today.
I have to agree with Paul.
Today.
I think
there's a whole draft.
Everything with the Jets depends on Sanchez.
I agree with you. He could not really go backwards next year, and you're laughing at making a comment like that they're better than the Patriots. Because I know the Patriots quarterback is going to be better next year. I don't know the Jets is going to be better.
No, but if Sanchez improves, watch out. Because they've got a damn good defense.
Well, you know, somebody wrote into SPFW saying, you know, shouldn't you be optimistic about the defense? Because usually the biggest jump for a player is from year one to year two. And all these rookies who played as, you know, last year.
Yeah, I got everybody
excited
that
much
with
better.
That little blog thing.
Well, I would direct them to Gerard Mayo, who didn't make all that big a leap from year one to year two. And he was the 10th overall pick in the draft.
Right.
So if you're expecting all these other guys who weren't even picked in the first round, who played
last year? Who are we talking
about
aside from Butler?
I just think there's young guys that are around. I mean, they had 12 rookies.
They had a bunch of rookies who contributed.
Chung didn't play.
Is he a player? Is Pryor a player? They have no defensive end right now. Zero.
Right.
Well, is it Mike Wright? Is it Myron Pryor?
Right.
Is it, you know, Ron Brace? I don't, you know.
Pryor, I think, is in the equation, but to me, Brace isn't because he did virtually nothing.
I don't think he is either.
So he could make 100% improvement, and that's get on the field.
But that's what we're talking about with improvement. Is there's a lot of younger guys. It's not just rookies. It's, you know.
Yeah, just young guys in
general. Will Height.
Is Will Height better?
That's year three.
I'm just saying, a young guy that are making a jump.
Okay, if you want to include all young players, then sure. And I'll go back to Tony Maserati's if theory.
But you don't think it's logical that Mayo is a better player next year than he was this year?
Well, everybody says year two is the important one. He didn't in year two.
Okay, so you can't improve after year two. Once you
get
to year two,
you've hit the ceiling. The question he posed was the year two jump.
But I think it's more, I think you're taking it literally.
Okay.
I don't think he's necessarily.
Crable's in the equation.
I'm not speaking for you, Eric, but I think you're talking more metaphorically than you are literal. It's year one to year two, that's the jump.
Mostly.
Right?
Yeah, mostly metaphorically. But in that specific example, I'm saying you took the 10th overall pick, and he didn't make that much of a leap from year one to year two.
No, I agree.
Expecting all these other guys who weren't drafted.
I don't think he made any leap from year one to year two.
But I'm saying the point that I'm trying to make to this person who wrote in was that you had the 10th overall pick not make that big a leap. So you're expecting now all these guys who were drafted in the second round and later to make that big a leap.
No, but
the one thing I'd argue with the 10th overall pick is he was good as a rookie. There was a huge leap
that's true.
To make. You know,
no,
Ron
true.
Brace could make a huge one because he sucked. He either didn't play or got run over.
Freddie, maybe I'm the only one.
But Mayo was also expecting
to
make a big leap.
I'm all about Brace.com.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 on the phone is Gary in New York City. Gary, how you doing?
Yeah, I see like one problem the Patriots had. I'm a big Patriots fan. Is that they lack discipline on defense. Like they was all over the place, out of place, and everything. I think Darren Sharpe will be a good upgrade. Like did the same way we had Harrison.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the discipline with Sharper.
I saw only
the postseason games with him, and he missed a lot of tackles.
I also think he gave up big plays.
I don't think that's the direction you want to go to. I don't think you want to get older back there. I just think that you need to move on and continue this development of your young defense. And you got to hope you're hitting on the guys. You got to hope that Merriweather is good. And you got to hope that Darius Butler is good. And Pat Chung and Jonathan Wilhite. You got to hope these guys can play.
So Merriweather, it's the year four jump.
I'm just saying you got to hope that. I mean, you can't argue that he had signs of being a productive player.
When the ball hit him in the chest.
Let's eliminate some of the missed tackles and continue to see some of the development as a center fielder.
Is that impossible? He missed tackles, but my sense of discipline is like having people lined up. Because when we played against them, Brady was not throwing his way. So obviously this guy lines up right. Maybe he missed tackles, of course. Yeah, that happens. But a lot of players was not throwing his direction. When they did.
Man, Brady didn't throw in Darren Sharper's direction?
When it was before the game got out of hand, he wasn't aiming his direction.
Well, but Darren Sharper plays safety.
All right, and he was.
So you don't target a safety.
All right, no, I understand. I mean, like target a receiver in his area.
Well, I don't know. I think Darren Sharper has had one last hurrah, and I think that's the end of his productive NFL career. Plus, I think he's banged up and about to have surgery, isn't he?
Yeah, I agree with your point. I just don't know that Sharper is the solution. I think this team was not very disciplined on defense. I think Brandon Merriweather is not a disciplined player. I think Adalys Thomas isn't a disciplined player. If you watch some of the times he tries to, quote, set the edge, he lets himself get hooked by players who shouldn't be doing that to him. Because other times, remember that play we pointed out, you know, when I was in one of my moods and you were telling me that Woods and Thomas were the same player, interchangeable? He set the edge and then made a tackle on the edge.
How come you don't roll your eyes at him like you do at me when I throw back your idiocy back in your face?
Well, I agree with Gary in that, you know, we saw the hole that Harrison left when he, you know, as far as leadership back there. And we also saw how they had that little bit of improvement when they brought James Sanders back. You know, having that calming effect of a guy that knows what's going on and can communicate with the other players.
Yeah, like he's been down the trenches.
Yeah, so you do need that. You do need it back there, and it's something that they...
I wouldn't argue with Gary's point. I agree with Andy. Andy just said it. I wouldn't argue with Gary's point about the discipline.
But not Darren Sharper.
I just think that he's too old, and I think that they need to kind of get past that.
And again, the problem, if you listen to Wilfork's words, Brandon Merriweather was included in the
the good portion of the guys to build around, I'm not sure I agree with it.
All right, thanks for the call, Gary from New York.
You just want to get rid of everybody.
He's a you guy.
No,
that's
I just don't think he's that good. On either side,
you know, I don't think he's that good.
I think he's undisciplined. He gets out of position. Out of position beyond missing tackles. That's a physical mistake. Okay. Sharper, I just pointed to, had a great year. He missed a lot of tackles when I watched him in the postseason. That happens. But to me, Brandon Merriweather's giving up big plays over the top when he's out of position. He's missing tackles, and everybody just fixates on, oh, a guy threw the ball to him and he picked off the pass. Well, great. I think most NFL athletes, if the ball's thrown to them, they're going to catch it.
Brian from Tuscaloosa says, guys, did you hear the end of Vince's conference call when the reporter's wife picked up the phone? Was this the same guy you have a soundbite of? Who is it?
I don't know.
I didn't hear the end
of
the conference
call. You have that? Oh, Doc might have it.
We had the pleasure, the good fortune to actually talk to Vince on our own.
Right.
So Eric and I went down on, what day was that?
Tuesday, right before the show.
Then all the good quotes came out in the conference call.
And then...
see what I do, cutting ties with these two.
He said the same stuff.
I didn't hear him say bad
seats. You have that, Doc?
I didn't hear this.
What happened, Doc?
You never know. One day you might wake up and something is gone from you. And you really don't know how much it meant to you when it's gone. So you can't go without, you know.
Hello?
Are we there?
Yeah, my bad. My wife thought she could pick up the phone and start talking in the middle of your conference call.
Tom Curran's wife. Oh, my God.
That's Curran.
I'm on a conference call. Did I pick up future cell phone?
I knew immediately it wasn't him because, you know, it was a wife.
All right. Well, that's funny. Tom Curran.
What? He's a young guy. He's not married yet.
Let's see. James in Australia. Maybe this is being brought on by sheer frustration that at the time of writing, the only outside player the Patriots signed is a special teamer who wasn't good enough for the Jets, who may make the team if he pans out. Anyway.
Well, don't forget Patton.
they
signed him.
Anyway,
he was an outsider outside the league.
My debate topic for you guys, and feel free to double this up for Debate Friday, is simple. Are the New England Patriots too dependent on Tom Brady to make this team good? The reason I bring this up on every show I see / listen to, not just yours, says that, oh, the Patriots will be right there. They have Brady. Plain and simple. Brady needs help, not superstars, but players who are borderline competent and not Joey effing Galloway again. I don't think that Tom Brady is the greatest QB to play the game, but he's certainly top 20, probably top 10, and arguably top 5 all time. But he's not going to be able to carry this team on his own. I feel that the team gets a little bit complacent with Brady in the lineup, and some players, Maroney, slack off, thinking Brady will do it all. Look at what happened when he blew out his knee. Other players had a light bulb moment that they needed to step up because number 12 can't carry them anymore. I am absolutely not running him out of town to get the best out of other players, but I think the team needs to kick butt and slap in the face and a knee to the crotch to wake them up. Wow. By the way, I'd give Brady...
We're all going to be on IR if you do that.
I'd give Brady a 4-year, $80 million deal with $60 million guaranteed and front-loaded. So.
Is the Patriots success dependent on Tom Brady, but that's not what he was going to say.
Are they too dependent on Tom Brady?
No.
To win?
Hell no.
No more than the Colts are dependent on Peyton Manning. It's... What a franchise quarterback's all about. It's why they get those $20 million per year.
Right. The teams that aren't as dependent on their quarterbacks for success don't have quarterbacks that are as good as Brady and Manning.
Right.
You know, what would
Jags
happen?
Jags don't ask David Garrard to do as much because he's David Garrard.
Right. And they might not fall. They might have the same record with the backup in there as they do with Garrard because there's just not that much of a difference.
Right.
But that's where the real value is. And listen, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, but the 2009 Patriots were a better team and more dangerous team. They may not have been as enjoyable to watch than the 2008 Patriots. They were a more serious threat within the AFC, going from 3 to 7.
Imagine what would have happened if the 2008 Patriots had played the 2009 Ravens. Would have really been a blowout.
No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think it's easy to sit back and say, well, they went 11-5, but it's like when you're in college and you're in a course and they grade on a curve. well, 11-5 seems really good. It's like when you got a 92, then you found out that you were in the last 10 percentile. Well, 92 is not an A anymore.
So you say
11-5 was good.
It was simply a down year.
Yes. I mean, 11-5 was good for seventh best in the AFC. Right?
Right.
So
not 11, only that, some of those 11 were like dogfights with Seneca Wallace.
It was like pillow fights against Kansas City and St. Louis at home. Remember, they were on the ropes against St. Louis at home. That's a team that hasn't won a game since. Really? I mean, what do they have, like 3 wins since then?
Yeah.
That was not a very good team, the 2008. I give them all the credit in the world for finding a way to stay relevant all year, and I think Matt Castle was terrific. But the 2009 Patriots with Brady were a better team.
Eric in San Francisco. I know many Pats fans are disappointed we didn't make a big splash in free agency, but the fact that the Patriots have re-signed several veterans who could have gone elsewhere is a significant positive that should not be overlooked. Demonstrates that despite a disappointing year last year that showed a team in utter disarray at times, especially on defense, the fact that so many veterans and important ones are returning signals that the team is still cohesive and believes it can reclaim its spot at the top. Think about it. With the addition of a legitimate third wide receiver, a pass-catching tight end, insert Olsen here, and a pass rusher, the team will be in really good shape. I know
this gets to Andy's thing, the more ifs that you have. But you just rattled off 3 major components.
Right. And signing
Let him finish.
Okay, I didn't know if you were
I know these are 3 big holes to fill, but we're closer than a lot of fans have been giving the team brass credit for. Do you think we'll fill those needs through the draft or free agency? And also, the draft prognosticators have the Pats going for a linebacker in the first round, Brandon Graham. Mm-hmm. The only time I can recall Belichick doing that is with Mayo 2 years ago, and I do not see him doing that in this draft. I see him going for a defensive end or, in a surprise move, Brandon Tate. What do you guys think?
Golden Tate, probably.
Well, why would he do that? When did he draft a wide receiver in the first round?
Other
than Maroney, when did he draft a running back in the
I
first round?
I can see him taking Brandon Graham.
Other than Logan Mankins, when did he draft an offensive lineman in the first round?
I don't get into the whole, he doesn't do that, fill in the blank. I think Bill has taught us enough over the years just to prove that there's nothing out of the realm for him.
Well, the only time I use the he doesn't is he still going to not...
6'4", 4'6"?
Yeah, going to draft a guy if he's not 6'4 and runs a 4'6".
But
then Brandon Graham's out.
To Eric's point about being optimistic, they're the same team right now that they were last year. They haven't made any improvements in those 3 major areas that he listed.
Could argue they're worse. And then Chris Baker and Jarvis Green played a lot.
Yeah, maybe. But they're not any better than they were. And until they start making a move, whether it's in free agency or in the draft,
you thought they were going to make all the young guys were going to make improvements.
No. I said that's me.
The
person writing in was saying that. But he doesn't listen to anything.
No. I had written a blog post about Bodden saying how clearly their decision was to re-sign the members of their defense, Bodden, Wilfork, Bantakane, and
the status
is
quo.
I think the thought would be
around here
that you were really young on defense last year, and with another year of experience for a lot of those guys who really got their first taste of full time play,
right?
Maybe you can get a little bit better. But I do think that there's an element of the unknown there. Like you're hoping that a lot of those guys get better.
I just don't really see all the young guys.
Well,
that's all I'm missing.
Paul and I were
the whole defense is like basically 50 year or younger, except for Vince and Warren.
And Paul and I were talking about this. Paul and I were talking about this the other day. You know,
fourth year or younger.
You know, when
an NFL career to me.
When you have
it, oh,
really?
That young.
I mean, that's all you're expecting your starting line players to play.
Who was young on the defense? Darius Butler, Jonathan Wilhite.
Butler
and they
Wilhite,
rotated.
Gary
so
Guyton,
like one position.
Guyton, Chung,
Myron
Mayo,
Pryor,
Merriweather. Pryor.
See, I don't include Merriweather. To me, he is what he is.
But I mean, you just rattled off 6, 7 names.
I think the linebackers. You have 2 of them, but I think the bulk of the defense was veterans. Jarvis Green, Mike Wright,
defense.
Vince Wilfork, Derek Burgess, James Sanders, Bodden and Springs.
And I think we kind of cut ties at
Merriweather because I think he's a veteran. So it's half and half.
I would also put McGowan in there because he only was here for 1 year. He's new to this system.
So Burgess is new. I mean,
well,
I
Burgess
guess.
Is a veteran. I mean, he's in his 30s. There's difference there.
I just don't see the youth on the defense that I
Well, then
guess
you think they stink. Because if you,
the
think,
defense?
If you think they are what they are, they're not any better today than they were last year, right?
I don't believe they're better today than they were last year.
Okay.
Let's look at
and
the
they
moves.
Stunk last
let's
year, look, so I don't know what,
right.
you know.
So
that's why I've said they're keeping together a mediocre defense.
Let's look at the moves that they've made on defense so far, bringing back these guys. We all know, and we were all disappointed that in the defense last year. But I think what we're seeing is Belichick saying, no, but these guys are good. We did have problems on defense, and we need to look at the fact that Dean Pees isn't here anymore. This one guy they didn't bring back was the defensive coordinator. And so what?
Hello, scapegoat.
Yeah. Well, no, but what we
the Boston tradition, unlike any other, but, the Masters.
But how many times
scapegoating?
How many times has Belichick scapegoated a coach?
Once.
When?
The DB's coach that they ran out of town.
Joel Collier.
I never said that.
Well, okay.
I don't think he's scapegoating him. I really don't.
I think he truly.
The media will try to do that.
I think
now.
He truly thinks we should have been better than we were. I think he truly believes that Belichick, we should have been better.
How about if I come back as Dean Pees and say the guys
pick
you brought in, McGowan, Burgess, Springs, Thomas, sucked.
I'm sure he has that opinion.
You know what? I think you're right. You know what? You just kind of swayed me because that comment about Burgess that still offends me at the end of the year, maybe that's what it was directed at.
Still offends some of your core defensive players, too.
It's not my fault.
One of which is
this
looking
guy,
for bad seeds.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
I mean,
not naming names, but.
Think about how that comment could be interpreted if you wanted to play the scapegoating
Certainly.
Game. It's not my fault. This guy has played that position better than anybody else we've ever had.
Yeah.
But you can't find a way to make him productive. I don't know. I mean, I kind of thought that he was a big part of the defense.
You know, so,
maybe I was wrong.
So you got to look at the guys that they've re-signed, but also look at who's left and what, you know.
Everybody's left. They got rid of one guy, Jarvis Green.
No, but I'm just saying that. The one guy that's left is the defensive coordinator. So that tells me that that Belichick feels with these guys, we should have been better.
No, I kind of agree with Paul. There wasn't anything better out there to go get.
That's what I think.
Well, I don't know.
I think that the improvements to be made in free agency were more receivers. I thought there was some receivers they could have gotten that might have been able to help them. Other than that, I don't have a problem with them saying this is a bad crop of unrestricted free agents. They're all older because of the rules. And the restricted guys are going to be too expensive.
And I'll give you, Fred, that they maybe they could have been better on defense last year, but they still can be much better on defense when they add players at the positions that need to be.
I don't think
we're saying Bill Belichick goes to Dean Pees and says, I want X, Y, and Z done, and Dean Pees goes,
where I'm
go F
ties.
Yourself, I'm not doing it?
I'm cutting ties. There's no way that's
happening. It's Bill's team. It always is Bill's team.
It's
his offense,
plan.
His defense, his special teams, his draft. It's Bill's team.
It's his game plan. It's everything.
I think you're right about that, but I think he said, I'm going to spend more time focusing on the defense this year. Why? Because I think he thinks it needs
because the defensive coordinator left.
Defensive coordinator's gone.
But that was Belichick's choice to get rid of him. It's not like he quit.
I think it was.
It's not like he retired.
He left here
to become the linebackers coach for the
Raiders.
He was forced out.
Did you ever think that maybe he didn't want to be back? Like
he
says,
roll. Let him go. No.
No.
I think
so. That's impossible.
I think he'd love to be the.
I don't think defensive. He had. I don't think he had. I don't think he would have loved to have come back to be the defensive coordinator.
Well, maybe he was on the.
Now I totally agree with you. Belichick didn't want him back.
Yeah,
but I don't think he wanted to be back.
I think there's got to be a reason for that.
Maybe it was what Andy's talking about. I'm tired of being the guy that gets the finger pointed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not as good as we were in 04 when 8 out of our 11 starters aren't anywhere near as good as the starters
right.
were in 04?
Well, I'm sure.
And if it's Bill's defense, why am I getting all the blame for it?
But whose opinion
don't go well?
Whose opinion do we care more about, Dean Pees or Bill Belichick's?
That's irrelevant. I don't know whether you want their opinions are.
I need
to hear the opinions before I
judge.
I
know.
I don't understand.
We don't know either. We're just speculating on both sides. But
I need to hear it before.
If Bill Belichick feels that we could have been better, I need to spend more time with the defense. See you later, Dean Pees. And Dean Pees is saying, screw you. You didn't give me enough players. Whose opinion right now is more important to us?
I would say they don't have enough players.
Bill's opinion is biased on the players he brings in.
Right. They're his players.
Okay.
He brings them in.
Well, he and Casario and Floyd Reese and all that. Yeah.
I'll get back to it's Bill.
Yeah. Well,
good or bad, I'm giving Bill what he gets. He was great when it was great, and now he's struggling when it's struggling.
I think you better hope of this whole young guy thing.
Yeah.
And Andy obviously is diametrically opposed to it. You better hope that you get better.
Well, basically, Belichick, you know, and whether or not you think that it's always been his defense anyway, it doesn't matter what the roles are. But Belichick has clearly put the spotlight on himself this year by saying, I'm going to spend more time with the defense. So unless we see a marked improvement.
I agree with that. There's a big spotlight on Bill.
There's a big spotlight when it comes to defense and Bill Belichick this year. We want, he's basically thrown down the gauntlet and said, I wasn't paying enough attention to it. I'm going to do that this year. We'll see what happens. You know?
Yeah.
He'll have no one to blame then if things don't improve.
That's what I say. The spotlight is clearly...
But lucky for him, no one will blame him anyway if things go bad.
They have to, Paul. I mean, he's basically said he's gotten rid of last year's coordinator and said, it's mine now. I'm going to be the one focusing on it. So
I'll feel better, though, if he brings in a good pass rusher.
That's,
I think we all will.
But that's the thing that's going to be funny is I could see them going out and getting two or three more pieces than they have right now. And everybody's saying, If they come back with the same cast they have right now and are markedly better, I'll be stunned.
Right.
I'll be absolutely stunned.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. TG and NJ says, maybe you guys should add another show or two. Then there would be more time for Fred to rant aimlessly and argue a point that he doesn't even believe himself. Ask you guys to repeat yourselves because he's not listening. Talk about Squidward sweaters. I still don't understand why Fred thinks the listeners care.
I don't either, TJ.
And then maybe after all that, there would be more time to get to all those emails. So many emails. Seriously, another show is warranted, especially as we get closer to the draft.
Should do a show where we read emails. This show,
we really don't anymore.
We read them. And
did we thank the lunch buyer today, by the way?
I'm really blown away because Eric is not wearing a sweater today. It's
for the second time this week, Fred.
Why?
Because the weather is improving. The weather's getting warmer.
No, weather getting warmer.
But you are layered. You're still layered.
Sister Wecht is really
still layered.
They said it's been great.
Yeah, I'll take this weather. Oh, my God. It's so nice.
They're about to take it from you. It's going to be like hell this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
50-mile-an-hour winds, 5 inches of rain.
Got a lot. A lot of rain.
A lot of rain.
Flooding everywhere.
We haven't even talked about Ben Roethlisberger.
That's true.
Oh.
Or Megyn Kelly today.
Ooh, he says with such glee.
Such joy.
Yeah,
couldn't happen to a more overrated
player.
That's
not very nice.
Is he a victim here, Roethlisberger?
Hells no.
I don't think so.
He's a punk-ass... Yeah,
I like Roethlisberger, but to me, twice, I can give you the foul ball on the first one.
I didn't believe him on the first
one. Well, you got to look at his judgment.
See, I did.
You got to look at his judgment of putting himself in position. And even before the girl stuff, riding motorcycles without helmets.
And then continuing to do so afterwards.
Yeah, I don't care about that. To me.
But it's judgment. It's judgment.
Well, I just think that you're an idiot for riding a motorcycle, but that's whatever you teach his own.
Say my mom
and
dad are
idiots. When you're a 28-year-old.
And they don't wear helmets, right, because they're in Rhode Island?
No, they wear helmets.
28. I think, you know what they call them in hospitals? You know what they call them in hospitals. I don't need to tell you.
Motorcycles.
Organ donors.
Oh.
But the whole, when you're 28 years old.
No, you ran out of gas at the tolls in New Jersey.
There's no reason for you to be celebrating a birthday in a college bar. So
there's one reason.
Your point
you're
about
looking
judgment,
to bang a college girl.
Seriously, you're Ben Roethlisberger. You can't find anybody.
Maybe that's what he likes.
You can't find a college girl that you can get consent from? I just think you put yourself in a bad
Maybe
situation.
Maybe he's got some sick something.
And did you happen to see Michael Silver's column?
No. I don't really read him because I don't
killing,
have any
of that. Well, I didn't read it. I didn't read it either, but they were talking about it on the radio, and he's killing these people who are coming out, quote-unquote, rushing to judgment on Ben. The people who were saying, not that he's guilty, but people were saying, if nothing else, he's guilty of poor judgment, like Fred said. Why is he at a college bar? Why, all of this stuff? And Silver's,
he's also guilty of changing his story.
Silver's killing them for that, saying, why shouldn't a 28-year-old be, being able to be do this stuff, and be a single guy? And well, if you don't know the answer to that, if you don't know the difference between him and just any 28-year-old,
right,
then you got your head up your butt.
I think Silver's
ridiculous.
Writing because I think he does that kind of thing.
Because he's the player guy.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he does that kind of thing. I bet you'll find him at college bars hitting on young girls.
He's like 50 years old, isn't he?
I just think he's one of those.
That's his lifestyle.
See,
he's
you know him better than I do. You know that stuff.
I'm making generalizations from afar.
But I don't know about that, but I just think that he's
one
of those
guys. What the Raiders guy call him is his smoking buddy.
Every story that he writes, he's injected into. As they said on the radio, they were talking. As I put
Paul
down
like
my bottle of Bud Light, Tom Brady looked across at me and talked about the season that had just ended.
There's no
need for that. But that to me,
he thinks he's the story.
As Jerry Callahan said, now he writes this piece and he gets it out there. Then he immediately tucks it into an email, sends it to Ben, and says, "See, Ben, I took care of you." Bang.
Right.
That's what he, that's all he's interested in.
Yeah.
Is making sure that all the players know that he's their buddy.
Hmm.
Now, it might even be more, you know, more of a reason
I
to
think
do,
he's
to do
into
Yandy
that
stuff.
Scene.
What's going on in Pittsburgh? Are they are the fans like rallying to his side, or are they wait and see?
I don't know, but the story I read today was that he that Roethlisberger has met with the Rooneys already about this,
yeah,
and that they're sick of his act,
ooh,
and that they could be teetering on the edge of trying to decide whether or not they want to.
Is that right?
Well, they've already yeah. come out. They issued a statement that was not total like in support. It wasn't even close to support. It was almost. More like that. I don't know the exact wording, and I don't want to misquote them, but it was not a no comment. We'll let it play itself out. It was not happy.
Well, isn't
Tone
one of the Rooneys now the ambassador to Ireland?
Yeah.
Andy, insert joke here.
I did watch a thing on Irish potatoes last night.
So he's drunk?
Did you know before? I know what you wanted. I'm not going to give you what you want all the time.
wow. Again, why don't you roll your eyes at him like you do me?
Did you know before the famine,
more coming from you.
The average Irish person ate 10 pounds of potatoes a day?
A day?
Before the, what was it, like 1840s, 60s?
10 pounds?
That's like the full bag you buy at the grocery store.
Wow.
That's why I make fun of them as drinking and potatoes.
Everything to excess?
They're yes. a bunch of Spudniks. web radio page just
this might be the big one. Usually only Andy cracks himself up.
Just trying to hold
Andy
it
doesn't
in.
Even crack himself up
yeah,
that
I
badly.
Can speak when I'm laughing. He couldn't even speak right
by
there.
By the way, 5 4 3 7 4
he still can't
speak. Abe from Longmeadow. Abe.
Oh, Abe. I knew he was going to do that.
1 week into the NFL's free agent season, and it's time to call a pig a pig. No matter how much lipstick you slap on it, I refer to the Pats' foray into the
a
market.
Blush.
Though it may be true that they have re-signed key players this week, it's also true that they could have conceivably done this at any time over the last year.
That
and
was
in
my
fact,
this is a
have,
very legitimate criticism.
And in fact have added next to nothing in the way of new talent.
Yep.
They also have made zero trades to bolster the team. This probably would have been no big deal had the other teams not taken steps forward, particularly a rival who kicked our ass the last time we suited up. Of course, I speak of the Ravens, who, as everyone knows, just flipped their wide receiver core from near worst in the AFC to possibly near first. I still believe Belichick has a plan. I just hope it involves something more than pursuing guys like the Rams tight end Fells, who apparently chose staying in the dregs instead of drinking the Pats Kool-Aid. We were a good to mediocre team down the stretch last year, see the Texas game, and unless we somehow do better than keeping the status quo, this could be the first time in a decade we don't have a winning record.
Pretty much the status quo. Huh.
So.
Hmm. That's a good email.
You know.
There's something to be said. They could have had, I mean, if you want to say an exception for Vince, you could have had Bodden, Falk,
mm-hmm.
Bantakane.
Could
done.
Have extended them.
Done.
But they tried.
I think they tried.
With
I'm not talking about extending. I'm talking about these contracts could have been done since the season ended till now. So when free so agency opened, you didn't
right.
worry
know,
about
but,
that.
Right, right, you right, think right, a lot right. had to do with maybe we might get Peppers and we have
That's
to.
That's why I said I'll eliminate
yeah.
Vince because that was the big one, mm-hmm. and maybe that impacted other things.
Yeah.
The other contracts shouldn't have impacted you that much.
No, I don't think they have.
And I don't think that they would have said, I can't imagine they would have said, well, we don't want to sign Bodden now. Now, maybe Bodden yeah. wouldn't have signed. Maybe Bodden was impossible to sign because he wanted to get out in the open market and see
right.
what was available.
Right. Maybe
I don't know.
He just wanted that.
But I think that some of this stuff could have been done before the start of free agency.
Certainly Bantakane.
But I don't
Falk.
Think by sure. not doing it, it stopped them from getting Anquan Boldin.
Well, I don't know. That was the excuse they gave us last year.
No, but they
when free agency started and they had to make trades.
Right. But this year.
Remember?
Yeah, they did.
They
last
said we
year.
Couldn't do two things at
I
once.
I know, but this is different and they haven't said that this year.
Well, because everybody probably assumes that they were busy signing their own guys. That's what they told us last year.
I know, but now you get the uncapped and all that stuff. I don't think that.
That's another thing that I'm glad you brought up. Why is it that we couldn't sign Vince Wilfork during the season to a long-term extension because we didn't know what the uncertain labor situation? But when it comes time to he's going to be a free agent, we can sign him. Something happened with the long-term CBA that I don't know about.
It's negotiations.
Okay, just That's checking.
That's all.
Just
That's
checking.
So, Paul. Why are you going to be so negative?
What, do you think that
I'm not negative. I want to know why.
But do you think that
it's not negative.
But, Paul, do you think that because of that they spent more than they had to on Wilfork?
No, they definitely raised their offer, though.
but maybe also Wilford came down. Maybe they met in the middle.
That's possible. Yeah.
So, but
I don't know that. I mean, you might be right.
See, I don't think.
But my point is, we couldn't sign him to a long-term, big money extension because of the uncertain labor landscape. That's the. And you want to say bad seeds has been put out there by five or six different guys? That was put out there by about 400 different guys.
Well, I know.
And Vince kept saying, everybody else is doing it. Remember?
Well, I think that they also
suddenly wanted, things changed.
I think they also wanted to see what would happen with Peppers. I think again, there was a lot of factors.
Again, don't cloud the issue. They said they couldn't do it because of the uncertainty. Now they did it. So evidently that was just a ruse.
I don't think, Paul, they said that it's tough to sign these type of contracts because of the uncertainty. But we don't know what the gap was between what Wilfork
so
wanted.
So just say that. Say that we were far apart in negotiations
well,
and working.
They did say that.
Forget about the labor uncertainty. It had nothing to do with it.
Oh, I think it might have. You know, we don't know what he was asking for. You don't know how much Wilfork came down. You don't know how much.
It doesn't matter if he came down, Fred. They said it was because of the labor uncertainty. They wouldn't sign a long-term lucrative contract.
If they thought that, if they thought what Wilfork was asking for was unreasonable, then, you know, it did
then
have.
And that's why they didn't sign him, not because of any labor uncertainty.
Well, I mean, if it was unreasonable to the point where, you know, we also have to think of other things, including the labor uncertainty.
I'll just say this. I, for one, am happy that the Patriots, I think, rose their offer and did something to sign a guy like Will Fork. I think if not a guy like him, then who? I agree with Andy's point about, you know, maybe a nose tackle isn't the kind of guy you want to make the heavy, huge splash with. But I think this is a guy who did everything in his power to show you that he loved being a Patriot and performed and produced as a Patriot. I wanted to see him re-signed. I'm glad they re-signed him. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't understand how you can just dismiss the fact that this stuff that is what the reasoning that they said, and now it's not.
Again, we don't know what Wilfork was looking for back then.
If he was looking for $100 million, they said, we can't do it because of labor uncertainty.
Yes.
But we can do $40 million, not because of labor uncertainty.
That was more manageable.
Makes no difference.
It does make a difference because you don't know what the rules will be in 2011. No one does.
I don't, and neither do the Patriots.
Right. They don't. So signing $100 million could hurt you.
And signing $40 million could hurt you.
But that's manageable based on what you've been doing over these years with salary cap.
Can you just admit that they didn't sign them before because they were far apart?
I think they were
closed
far
the gap.
Apart.
It had nothing to do with labor uncertainty.
Did I ever say that they weren't?
It had nothing to do with labor uncertainty. Can you admit that?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I can't. Well, because I don't know how far apart they were. If it was a little bit, you'd be right. Then it didn't have anything to do with labor
first
uncertainty.
First of all,
you're immediately assuming they're lying.
No, I'm immediately assuming that they said one thing and then they all of a sudden went back
because
on
they were lying.
No, I'm not saying they're lying.
Else is it?
I'm trying to figure out why. My question was why. Why was the uncertainty a hurdle then and not now?
Because we don't know the gap. Maybe he was asking for 100 like Albert Haynesworth, and they said, we're not going to be strapped to a contract like that when we don't know.
And I would
what's
argue with
happen.
You the reason they didn't want to be strapped to a $100 million contract is because they didn't think he was a $100 million player, not because of uncertainty.
Well,
that was their convenient little excuse.
Well, look.
So I guess I am saying that they were lying.
Yeah, I don't think in any CBA you pay your nose tackle that much money.
I wouldn't either, but I wouldn't blame it on the CBA. I would just say he's not worth that.
I think it's a factor, Paul. There's going to be some type of cap eventually.
Right. And it's you don't know what it's going to be.
Oh, I thought that was the opening. I thought he was going to say right.
Yeah. Yeah. We just don't know what it's going to be.
Right, exactly. You don't know right. what it's going to
exactly.
be.
So you could be very much
so you're not
by this
strap
contract.
Yourself to an Albert Haynesworth contract for a nose tackle.
Because he's not worth it. Not
no
because
nose tackle
of labor uncertainty. Right. I agree. Not because of labor uncertainty, because you don't pay nose tackles $100 million.
Well, okay. I mean, you can quibble all you want.
Now, the bottom line here.
Only he quibbles.
I don't think they're lying.
I'm the only one who quibbles. The only bottom line
That's
here to
of,
me.
This is one of my favorites.
How come you guys just sit and listen?
Because it's entertaining. Well, I have a specific reason this time that I'm not interested in partaking.
Because you think they're lying, too.
No. Well, first of all, I think lying's okay in sports contract negotiations.
Right.
I think it's part of doing business.
I'd lie through
my teeth until I get the guy signed.
Except when the Patriots do it.
I'm okay with this lying.
Yeah, you know what?
I didn't say that.
In all honesty, I'm kind of with Andy. I think it's part of negotiations. I think
it is.
You do lie to present your side.
Right.
My problem with it is the media more so than the Patriots. My problem is it's just getting it gets eaten up.
It's
like
just hook, line, and sinker.
You can't sign the guy. Every other team in the league was signing long-term extensions to their big-time guys because they didn't. Evidently, they just didn't know what they were doing.
Don't blame the Patriots.
Paul,
that's the media.
Your problem with the media goes back years now. But I think now, I think if anything. It's reversed.
For someone to write that the Patriots spent $540 million in salary and the Colts spent $546 is laughable.
One guy wrote that.
Well, you think it's the Bible.
And his wife needs to use the phone.
But most of the writers have been criticizing, if not saying it, you know, implying that the Patriots just don't want to spend the money. Whenever there's a comment like that, that's the headline. And that's in your first block of your story.
And so
I don't think, Paul, that the
don't
media,
even you got to end it because he doesn't get the point.
I don't think the media is, you know, as biased toward the Patriot as you think they are.
Paul Perillo right on target there.
Really can't get into that one.
I don't think they are. I think they're looking for ways to criticize.
And not that we'll know this for sure, but my contention.
What media are you talking about?
I mean, look, you look at two or three
guys. I'm talking about local guys, by the way.
I'm
all
talking
of the
about
local guys, not two or three of them.
A good portion of the writers and the major radio footprint in this team.
Well, okay. If you go,
you can't even defend the radio side.
No, that one show I can't defend. But you go to 98.5, Felger's killing him every day.
Yes, I know. And therefore, people have stopped listening to him. Because you can't do either all the time. Be objective like us.
Because of that,
by the way, he's considered a laughingstock.
Right, exactly.
Because everybody else is so anti him that they're just dismissed as being
I think both sides.
Babbling buffoons.
It's like the liberals and the conservatives.
Exactly.
They're both crazy.
And the independents are here on PFW Progress.
Exactly.
But Freddie, I think Paul's point was on target when he said nothing has changed as far as the CBA. What changed was they came closer on their desire to get the contract on the numbers that they felt were fair to each side.
I know, but you know in your heart, you know. I know you won't admit it, but you know that if Wilfork came down, he didn't come down that much.
Well, but if
you know that Wilfork wasn't looking for $100 million
deal. If they started, when I say they, I mean Wilfork and his agent and Bianca. If they started at
wife/agent, as he put it.
Hey, he called her that, so I guess that's okay.
And then
now.
He praised his agent for putting up with her.
I did read that.
But
he said that's us.
If they started after the Haynesworth deal and said that's about what we want, I can honestly see whether it's Robert Kraft or, you know, I doubt it's Belichick, Floyd Reese or whoever, looking across the table go,
Are you kidding me?
Just because they made that mistake, we're not going to make that mistake.
We don't even
know what the
on
rules are going to be in 2000.
That last part.
I can see them.
I was on board with the first sentence.
And we're back to where we started.
I can see them saying
nothing
that,
to do with it.
Well,
if they had every complete knowledge of what the new system is going to be, they'd have absolutely no intention of giving him $100 million.
Right.
He's not worth it. He's not anywhere near worth.
You got
it
right, Fred. I'm not listening anymore.
I just think the whole CBA thing from like the end of 09 till from the beginning of 09, excuse me, from all the way through the Richard Seymour trade, all the way through the season in negotiations with Wilfork, it reeked of we know what's going to happen. No one else does. That's why we're doing it this way. It was very Bruins-like, pre-lockout, post-lockout. All of a sudden, nothing has changed since, but we ended up giving the guy a trip. Maybe we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe they do, and they found out something between the end of the season and now.
Maybe.
But to me, something changed. Okay. To you, it was nothing.
We're not getting into specific details at this time.
Well, let's see.
Who's that?
What's that?
That was the detective or the sheriff in Roethlisberger's case into the Pacific details.
I know.
Let's see. Matt from Oregon. Let me just start off by saying F Glenn Ordway, F the Big Show, and F the guy who said it was all right for them to cut you guys down to an hour and 45.
You're making my point.
That was Doctor.
That was kind of Mr. Kraft.
Even though they didn't even show up. You know, we left here at 10 of and they still weren't here.
Yeah.
How did they get their show on? I can't believe they could get a crossover.
No, I'm sure they showed
minutes.
Right. I'm sure they showed up.
They probably
up,
didn't do a crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, so why did we get off the air that early?
They often don't.
That's my point. As Eric would say, that's preposterous.
Notice he didn't chime in from behind the glass.
Yeah, of course not.
Every week. No, he understands. He's in a tough predicament.
Yeah, he wants to make sure
supports
he does everything
the other show.
To support the other, you know, as you would say, the other employer.
Mm-hmm. Every week you guys say, let's do another hour, and all of us. Don't speak over me, ever.
And Fred's upstairs and has a big title.
Yeah.
Every week you guys say, let's do another hour, and all of us listeners shout, yes, do it.
But Fred goes, no, I got a meeting.
Well, we do have other things to do. I swear to God, this isn't our main job.
Well, I do today, but normally I'm all in favor of another hour.
I feel like swearing now, and I had to hold back. But, of course, you all have jobs, and thank you, and you don't do it. My question is, can we get an hour-long
version? Show her our jobs.
Can we get an hour-long version on Wednesdays? Why not? Maybe Fred would actually get to some emails.
There's a groundswell of support for that email-driven show.
Wednesday is when I schedule all my midday meetings. I can't do that on Tuesday.
You have all your meetings every day. I always hear all of you people.
I go to too many.
Reinventing the wheel in your office. You almost did it again there.
It's from absolutely. a lot of emails to a lot of meetings. Got a lot of meetings.
It's ridiculous.
He dropped an F in there, though.
The off-season is crazy, right? People think that, oh, the off-season, they're sitting around drinking coffee.
You must have some time to...
It's busier in the off-season than it is
or going to the gym for 4 hours.
Easy walkabout. Boy,
it's not for 4 hours.
It's better and it's busier in the off season here than it is for me in the season. Anyway, I also want to bring this. Is still Matt from Oregon. I also want to bring something back up that has come up before during the preseason, but it was too late to make it happen at that point. Any chance of putting together some type of video podcast with play-by-play commentary from you guys on the preseason games? After the draft, we as fans get excited about the new rookies and want to see what they can do for the team, but the coverage of them on TV is always lacking, so we never know how they're doing. I realize that the draft hasn't even happened yet, but I wanted to bring it up nice and early this time so you guys could have time to put something together. Hell, I'm sure there are plenty of us out there who would even pay a couple bucks per game to make it worth your while.
Or send dinner.
Keep up the great work, and tell the guys from that other crappy radio show to take a hike.
Yeah.
And, Eric, did I spell preposterous right? I believe you did. So, without even checking with Eric.
It's a mistake, usually.
Eric, do you get these emails yet?
Yet? Yeah, Eric, I've been getting them for years.
Oh, I thought you said you don't get the emails. Oh, it's you. Andy doesn't get them.
The man of the people doesn't get them because he doesn't want to have interaction with the people.
He doesn't care. Right.
There would be no interaction with the people. It would just arrive in my inbox. It's got nothing about interaction.
What about what?
It would, because you would have, there would be certain ones that you would
emotionally respond to.
Yes.
What's arriving in your box? What?
Don't you worry about my box. Toolbox. my waiter's wife.
Did you ever thank the lunch buyer today?
No.
I keep asking
Who bought lunch?
Scott in Atlanta.
Scott in Atlanta. We have an email from Scott? No, look at that. He just sends it.
The kindness of his heart.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Scott in Atlanta, thank you so much.
Scott's
for lunch
the
today.
One who bailed me out when I had to do the solo show. Sent me lunch, hooked me up
did
big
he really?
Time. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He did.
Scott from Atlanta, if you're ever in town.
And Fred will take care of you.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can give us any scoop on
don't
call Andy.
Place. Free admission.
Just drop Andy an email. He'll be sure to get right back to you.
Try to find out some Roethlisberger
news for us. Get him behind those velvet ropes.
In the vicinity, Scott.
Okay. What do you think of
maybe
Adrian Peterson going to Minnesota? LT.
I think it's worked out pretty well for them so far.
LT going to
Minnesota. We discussed this upstairs. First of all, it would be maybe the greatest backfield ever if you put Tomlinson, Favre, and Peterson on the field together. And then Eric brought up the greatest group of chokers ever.
Yeah.
Greatest choking backfield ever.
Wow.
You got the fumbler, the guy who throws interceptions with the game on the line, and the guy who's on the sideline with the game on the line.
Wow.
Did you see where his second stop is, though? He has a scheduled visit with?
I don't know.
If he leaves Minnesota, he will be on Friday.
Seattle?
In a much closer city. Rhymes with Rig Rapple to beat with the New York Jets.
Really?
Yes.
That.
See, why wouldn't you? No, I don't know.
Why are you yelling at me? What did I do?
I think
he just called my idea dumb. It wasn't even my idea.
No, I'm calling the Jets dumb. I think that's a dumb move.
For?
The Jets.
Why?
Because they have a young guy they want to hand the reins to. Why do you want a guy who was once great
to be
leaning down his breathing down his neck?
That's what the
Vikings are doing. The Vikings have an established star at that position who's not going to feel threatened by LT.
Well, I think both teams are looking at him as a third down back. Mm. Yeah. Now, Leon Washington, I don't know how that plays out.
Well, they obviously have reservations about Washington. We talked about that on Tuesday. That second round tender makes him attractive.
Yeah.
So they obviously have some reservations there. I'm not sure what they are. I'm not sure if they know something medically about the broken leg. Maybe it was more serious than your run-of-the-mill broken leg. I don't know.
Speaking of other teams and reservations, the Browns released Derek Anderson. Now they're saying Brady Quinn is on the market for trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who's going to be their quarterback?
They're talking about bringing
Seneca
in Jake
Wallace.
Delhomme.
Jake DeLome.
Yeah, Seneca coach. Wallace thinks
they traded for. Yeah, they got Seneca Wallace, and now there's a report that they're going to bring in DeLome.
What's their draft slot for the Browns?
Top 10.
It's definitely top 10. I don't remember exactly.
Colt McCoy or Sam Bradford territory?
Well, if they can get Colt McCoy in the third round, yeah. But Sam Bradford
probably have to trade up.
Here's that little bit of knowledge dangerous thing again.
I'm probably exaggerating,
but no. Colt McCoy is not
a top 10 pick. No. Yeah.
And they are a top 10 team.
Yeah. It would be Bradford or Clawson, but yeah. I don't think even Clawson's going to go that high.
And they might be a little bit scared to go the Clawson route.
After Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn 2.0, as some people call him.
Yeah.
And Bradford's going to be, maybe that's why Fells signed with the Rams, because he wanted to be with a Hall of Fame quarterback, and the Patriots' Hall of Fame quarterback is on the downside.
It's Bradford, baby.
It's uncomfortable, Paul.
It really is.
In St. Louis.
Let's see. Ross in London. Great
Cleveland
show as usual.
Seven.
So some people believe you can get Bradford there.
If he doesn't go one, I think there's a possibility. But
what about
Chris
Dr.
Mortensen coming in
what
from
about
Minnesota?
Dr. Schefter?
Well, now everybody's on board.
Right.
His ESPN cohorts, McShay and Kuiper, have stolen it and put Bradford number one in their mock. You got to give him credit. He was
I put his
testicles on the line early on for that one.
And I said that because that seems to be the consensus, is that he's going one. Everybody says one. So now I would be surprised if he doesn't go one.
Right.
That's why I said if he doesn't go one.
I'm not sold he'd last till seven.
Somebody would trade up to get him.
Things happen.
That's the last spot, too, right? That's the seven is the ones that are supposedly, once you get beyond seven, you can live with it in terms of the money.
In terms of the contract, yeah.
I'll live with Sam Bradford wherever I have to pay him.
Oh, boy.
Ross in London. Great show as usual. Just thought I'd add in on all the re-signings. People are acting like the team has stood still, but everyone has free agents. Some lose.
You signed all the people you had last year. That's the epitome of standing still.
Everyone has free agents. Some lose and some gain. As it is, we've only lost Green, but re-signing Wilfork Baden is a major plus when New England could have lost big. And now the Patriots look like having four of the top 53 picks from this year's draft. Those players are going to improve the team, even if just by a small margin in their first year, as well as any future moves Belichick makes during the rest of the offseason. The roster is going to look much better by opening day.
They're the epitome of staying the same.
Right.
They're keeping the band together. No one is arguing that. How's the band going to get better?
I agree with the emailer's point. They could have regressed. They could have lost some key guys from last year. They didn't, but it is the very definition of standing still. You've re-signed your guys and haven't really signed anybody of note outside of the organization. And as far as the four picks and the first 53 selections and stuff, you had that last year. I mean, did that just make you discernibly better?
I think they picked up some good talent.
I didn't ask that. 50-50.
Because you love Vollmer. And you think Brace is never going to be an NFL player.
Right, no, but Tate.
You're 50-50.
My question isn't questioning the draft picks. They got Chung, Butler, Vollmer, and Brace. Yeah. Right. Those are the four guys. I'm not questioning the picks. I'm saying how much did those guys make you better last year?
Right. They might have made them a little better. I don't know.
Right. But if you get a little better this year, are you better enough?
Right. They need to get more than a little better. Right. Yeah. Bad Kevin writes in, "Hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. Are we seriously putting our faith in another draft
me bag.
With this lack of action with the free agent market on our part? Do you feel there is more of a sense of urgency to trade up in the draft? I think there will be an uproar in Pat's Nation. I guess that's right. I thought y'all say Patriot Nation.
You do, but he shortened it.
Pat's Nation.
I don't think there'll be
will
the
there
uproar.
Be an uproar if we do nothing but pray that our 2009 and 2010 draft picks are the immediate future.
The uproar will come if they trade down. Not trading up, right. I think people, if they sit at 20, is it 2 or 3?
22.
2 and draft, I think people will be okay. If they trade down,
there will be an uproar.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mark, is this? Who's this?
Mark. So we should actually have an uproar.
Mark in the UK.
When we're on the radio and they trade.
Roar!
Yep, that's the roar and it's up.
Mark is from Oxford in the UK. Guys, I'd like to say
Fred, for the last year, your favorite player.
Yeah.
One of the top two safeties in the draft.
Myron Roll.
Yes.
I thought for sure he was going to say Eric Berry.
I was expecting Gerhard.
Oxford, Mississippi, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'd like to say thank you for all your fabulous work, which goes into making the Patriots.com website what is fantastic, and the PFW podcast are the highlight of the week. Helps with my commute in and out of work. Great article on the upcoming uncapped year. Personally, I think next year will pretty much run as normal, and we probably won't notice much different. On to football. I'm over the moon. Wilfork re-signed with Baden. This should be enable us to go after key playmakers in the pass rush, wide receiver, and running back. I'm not that bothered that Peppers has gone to Chicago. Last year was the time when Peppers should have come to New England, but that window of opportunity was open for a very short time. As long as we draft a pass rusher in this year's draft, he doesn't believe in punctuation. I think we made the right choice with not bringing him in. I'm praying to God we don't trade down this year. As fans, we want some excitement.
Uproar.
I could honestly see us drafting Tim Tebow if he slides in the draft, perhaps late second round, early third round.
Nope.
I think he has a good, solid character, which Coach Belichick would surely love, and he could sit behind and learn from Brady. Okay. Hoyer is very much unproven, and Tebow ought to be an upgrade. Thoughts on this, guys? I'm talking about value. How low would he have to drop, in your opinion, for you to regard him as too good not to pick Tebow?
Well, I want to address, first of all, the pass rush thing. He said earlier that now that they've taken care of the guys, they can go out and get that pass rusher. Was he talking specifically in the draft?
They can focus on wide receiver pass. I think so, yeah.
Okay, because in free agency, he said something about Julius Peppers.
He's not
worried about him, but because you're not going to get a pass rusher in free agency now.
But I think, he's saying in the draft.
All right. There's a lot riding on this draft, then.
I think
kind of a 50-50 proposition.
I think his point is you don't need to draft a cornerback because you re-signed Baden. You don't need to sign an interior defensive lineman because you re-signed Wilfork. So you can just focus on pass rusher. Mm. I think I don't want to put words in the.
I mean, certainly, if you did not sign Wilfork, you'd be looking at pass rusher.
You'd have other needs.
Sure.
You'd have other needs. Yeah,
right.
That would be bigger.
Right.
If you didn't sign him, theoretically, you would have signed somebody else.
Well,
you didn't sign anybody. Sure, you'd have all those needs, but you'd really have an uproar. Well,
I hope that's what he's talking about, and I hope that's what they do.
But let's look at last year. That's 50-50. For every good example we have that I like to trumpet, that Clay Matthews had 10 sacks and Brian Arakpo had 10 sacks, I can throw out Larry English and Everett Brown and these guys who did nothing.
Mm. Everett Brown especially was a complete and total non-factor with an opportunity. Larry English didn't get as much of a chance in San Diego. But he was not by any means. If he warranted a chance, he probably would have gotten it. But Everett Brown played a lot and got no pressure.
And my point would be, I think they do a pretty good job of drafting in San Diego. And they thought Larry, so it's not like idiots. It's not like you go, well, Oakland drafted Larry English and he stinks. No, a team that has a pretty good draft history drafted a guy and he stunk.
Particularly at that spot.
Well, particularly at most spots, I would argue.
I like when Paul gets that bubble in his throat.
Yeah, I had a little bit of phlegm coming here.
Not the same kind of bubble when you're talking about a draft prospect, are you?
No,
he doesn't get that in his throat.
Doesn't put ass in his throat.
Is John in L.A. still on the phone? What? John in L.A. is on the phone.
Speaking
hey, John.
Of asses.
Wow.
Wow. It's good stuff, as always.
Andy can't stop talking about ass.
How are you doing? I first of all want to say thank you, echoing the last email. You guys really make a huge difference in my commute, so thank you.
You're in New York now, right?
Wait, you have a job as a waiter that you have to commute to?
Oh, wow.
That's hilarious.
Struck a nerve, eh?
It never, ever gets old.
Nope, you're right. Not on this end, anyway.
Yes, it does, John.
Anyway, I listening to Kraft the other day on the Horrible Show, which I'm so tired of EEI kicking you guys out of there Mondays and Fridays during the season.
Can you do what Fred's been asking forever and call in and then yell PFW rules on the air?
Right, that's what we need.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
We need terrorism. That's what we need.
Exactly. That's good. That's good work for you.
Listen, if you're going to do it, you have to be more clever than to just yell it like that. You have to be kind of talking in the middle of a sentence and then subtly throw it out
subliminally.
In the back, big head.
Then it has a chance to actually make it through the 7-second delay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a shot at some point. Kraft was on the other day, and also just some other things I've been reading, and also just in terms of the history of Belichick and the way it seems like the Patriots do a good job of adjusting to certain new rules and stuff, not so much once it gets going and everyone in the league has sort of caught up, but I'm wondering if there's any hope that with the uncertainty now and the difference now, if we will have some kind of advantage. Because Kraft said something the other day about it's really important to sort of take it easy at this point and let's see how things go. And I also read something about there's going to be a lot of veteran players signing one-year deals later on into free agency. Do you think there's anything that there's a method to the madness of just sort of let's sign our own players and see what's what?
Well, I think part of the method would be the restricted free agents. If they sign their one-year tenders and there's a new CBA moving forward, assuming they go back to the 4 years of free agency, you have all those guys hitting the market
right.
as free agents.
It's going to be huge, plus the guys that...
Plus
know,
the guys
right.
that already.
Right.
So that's why people have talked about looking ahead to strong 0-11 free agent classes.
Yep. Right. So, you know, everyone's...
That's on purpose right now, or at least it's something that they have their eye on maybe more than other teams?
I think
or?
They're cognizant of it. I don't know if it's all because of that, but as Paul says, I think it was a weak free agent crop. Don't force anything when we might want that $40 million back next year to go after... Elvis Dumervil,
and I think
or whoever
you've seen
you think
that
will be
around the league. I don't think a lot of teams have really gone full bore into this free
right.
agent class. There have been a couple, much like we thought, a couple of very high profile guys that have made a ton of money. But,
right.
you know, Peppers, who else?
I mean, and have we seen anybody like, we're
Dante
talking about Boden getting
I would say
underpaid. We haven't seen those reach. The team's late. Got to get somebody
right.
really overpaying. You know, Robinson, maybe you think they
Robinson,
overpaid.
Robinson, I think, was overpaid a little bit.
He was a franchise corner. I mean,
there have been a lot of guys, I think, that have signed, you know, kind of that second tier level, you know, like Jarvis Green and
But that's my point. I haven't seen the second tier guys move into the first
no,
tier of pay.
I haven't. You know, and maybe Robinson is an example of that. Maybe he's his second tier guy that got more. Maybe he's better than we think he is. I don't know.
Could be.
One more question?
Sure.
Okay. Can we please trade Adalius Thomas, even if it's for like a conditional seventh-round pick?
You need someone to trade for him.
I don't understand why that's so hard. We could trade him to Seattle for Branch. I'm not saying they would do that. I'm just saying you could find something useful or at least just banish him somewhere.
How?
To
but
make
somebody has to be
John,
willing
yes,
to be the banishee.
Someone needs to be willing to say, I'll pay him $5 million. You don't have to.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
But there's no – I don't understand why there's no chance of someone like Belichick or with some other person that he knows in the business who he's not trying to hoodwink, saying he did not work in our system, but obviously he has talent in other systems. I mean, that would be the argument. I don't know if it's true. And try to get something and at the very least keep him away from the Jets.
But my point is, why would some? I mean, he's not worth $5 million a year.
Not in our system.
Not in anyone's. He wasn't worth that. Listen, he's not that much.
But Rex Ryan thinks he is.
But people clearly have decided that he was a product of the guys he was playing with in Baltimore.
Right.
That's the opinion among the greater NFL.
Is it? I don't know.
Do you
I mean certainly
anything?
Locally we think that.
No, that's I mean, Ray Lewis torched this guy 2 years ago. I mean, do you think that people don't remember that?
Oh,
and then they watched what the guy did in someone else's system and they said, geez, wow, Ray was right. Ray Lewis continues to be a guy, you know, he continues to be the same guy. All these other guys that have left,
right.
most of which, I mean, Bart Scott's been a good player in New York,
yeah.
but most of these guys that leave, their careers drop off. That's where the Adalius Thomas is right now among most personnel guys in the NFL. I don't think anyone's trading for him. I think John's comparison, his example of Seattle, that's a possibility because
right.
they might be looking saying, I got a wide receiver that's not worth $5 million
right.
a year that I can get
right.
rid of, and you could take my guy that's not worth $5 million a year,
yeah.
$4.5 million
that,
a year.
That could,
it was
something,
Bethel Johnson for Jonathan
right.
Seldon.
That's like
something
an,
we both cut him at
that's
the end.
That's like an
right.
NBA equal value
yes. something
trade.
Could, something
yeah.
could work
yeah.
along those lines, I think, and that's the example that me and Andy have been talking about for 2 months. But
it's almost too obvious.
Unless, yeah, but Seattle maintains that they don't want to get rid of him. So that's kind
right,
of a strange way to go about trading a guy.
Right.
We need them to trade for Brandon Marshall, and then they'll let him go.
It's possible. Yeah, it's
theory.
It's
yep.
possible. It's possible,
yeah.
but I just right. don't see. I don't see anybody taking on the salary unless they're getting rid of salary.
Right.
I think
that's why the Seattle thing works.
Thing. Yeah. Bad thing for Adalius Thomas. Because
yeah.
It's basically what's fueling my.
You're trading life. With your heart, not your head.
Exactly. All right.
All Thanks, right, guys. John. Thank you very much for calling in. John in Dallas says, "Look, free agent is not over. Free agent season is not over." In fact, it is just beginning. We have leverage with picks, and there's a team is not built over 5 days. We have plenty of time and venues to acquire more talent for 2010
The fun is only beginning.
I kind of have to disagree.
Well, there is a long offseason ahead.
By the way, Eric is still with the show.
Restricted free agency, trades, draft. There's plenty of time, but...
Right, but...
As we always know...
There'll be guys available June 1.
Right, and there always are.
In an uncapped year, there's all those teams.
There's always are.
There's only a month left to restricted free agency, by the way.
No, I know, but that's plenty of time.
I'm just saying for the...
You're only doing one. I mean, you're going to pick a guy, and you're going to do it.
And don't forget, it takes a week.
Right. But you're only... I mean...
So there's not as much time as he wants to think there is.
Where I would say, you know, Fred's point about the post-June 1 thing, obviously.
It's not a post-June 1 thing.
But you think there are going to be guys available later that aren't available now.
Yes.
Whatever. No one worth it, but that's okay. I know.
Now, the teams that are in cap hell will be the teams that
I know the Patriots will pick up somebody later. The Patriots have always picked up guys during the course of an offseason. You know, May, June, July, that end up being contributors. And I think they'll do it again. They always do. They'll find a guy. It's not necessarily a guy who's not available right now, but it might be a guy who's available now who thinks he's going to get something that changes his tune come July.
And don't forget that the restricted free agency offer sheet period ends.
Right.
You could still trade for him.
Sure.
So I think there will be some of those at some point. Trades that are, you know, the Wes Welker type deals where it's maneuverings via trade rather than
what a shame BC's gonna
true
lose.
Offer sheet. I just wanted to get back. John was had that whole thing where he said the team sees rule changes and takes advantage of them before the rest of the, and in my head I was thinking, so they knew they were really going to crack down on hits to the quarterback, so they decided we'll just stay away from the quarterback this year.
And then misinterpreted the rules.
I was just thinking I didn't need to get back into my thing, but that was basically the case in point of what I was talking about. We know no one else does. He interpreted that from what Robert Kraft said on the EEI the other day.
John is saying someone said that we haven't overpaid for a free agent, and he says, what about Burgess? He cost us a third and a fifth.
That's a trade.
So,
and who said we never overpaid for a free agent? We've been talking about Adalys Thomas for 3.5 years.
Right, yeah. We overpaid for him, but I'm fine with it because I think that was a good...
At the time, that's what you thought you were getting?
I think
at the time you were like, oh, you put him there.
Right.
And it's not going to be able to do anything.
Well, I can play safety.
Yeah.
I was like that for like a month and a half until they made him an inside linebacker.
Yeah.
And then I said he was overpaid.
But I just thought that the rationale behind that move I thought was sound. That's all. Listen, we missed.
We called him the perfect storm.
We all missed. Okay. We all thought he was going to be better than he was. And the Patriots certainly thought he was going to be worth more than he was. But I just think the line of reasoning, I think, was sound. And I hope that doesn't discourage them from having that same line of reasoning moving forward.
All right, with that said...
Another hour?
We're going to wrap up this show.
Extra hour?
No, we're not. I have things to do. I hope you guys do, too, as well.
Yeah, I have to go get my taxes done.
Oh, good. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Things might happen over the weekend. Stay in touch with Patriots.com and at Real Patriots on the Twitter. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.